Coming up on TMS, the Wolverine makes you pee.
Made me poop. Is that or is that not a Wolverine villain?
The man that ate all the ramen for us.
Dude's body fell from 30,000 feet.
Hugh Jackman plays better overseas.
Amanda Bynes is hemorrhaging money.
Bieber won't stop spitting on his fans.
We tickle your jawbone today.
Geek food.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You wipe up after breakfast. You wipe up after lunch. But after dinner, when you clean up, shine up too with Johnson's Jubilee, the cleaner that shines up as it cleans up. Jubilee gets things shining clean, leaves no dull liquid cleaner film, no dry cleanser grit. Jubilee puts down a protective wax shine that makes the next wipe up easier. Try Johnson's Jubilee, the cleaner that shines up as it cleans up.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes. Time out. Oh, okay, oh, yes, okay.
The Morning Stream. They mostly come in the morning. Mostly.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is The Morning Stream. For Monday, July 29th, 2013. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Nope. Hello.
What do you think about the little Dunaway business this morning?
I like that he loves horses. That's him reacting to horses in Minecraft is what I understand.
Yeah, him and his son doing a little video in Minecraft. And he struggled thus far to achieve horsedom in that game. This is the latest patch that lets you have horses. And he had a hard time with it. But now,
do you have to earn them, or what's the deal?
You have to, what's the deal? You have to, I guess, catch them and then train them and then, like, tie them up to a post and stuff. And
they're pokey horses.
Yeah, they kind of are pokey horses. And Nick has been doing this in his Minecraft life and seemed to have no trouble at all with it. So when we talked about it on the final score, Brian's like, I still can't get a horse. I'm like, well, I think Nick had like two in like 10 minutes. But anyway, apparently he has figured that all out and life is good again. Yeah. And don't forget.
You wipe up after breakfast.
That's when I do it.
Yes, you do. With Johnson's Jubilee.
Johnson's Jubilee. What the heck is
Johnson's Jubilee?
What is that?
Which means you've got the power to shoot little sparks out of your fingers. Nice. Congratulations.
Hey, that's prescient to today's conversation.
It kind of is, yeah.
Did you see the Wolverine?
I saw the Wolverine, and it's funny that you put in there to pee during it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I ate beforehand, but I had to run into the bathroom halfway through the movie.
But you
spoiler.
Went, you
spoiler,
had to,
folks.
Spoiler, Brian had to take a number two during the,
number two,
the
yes.
film. Well, all right. So let's get to that, because I actually think there's something to this.
All right.
Sit down in my reserved seating here in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, lucky you. We were sitting in the seats that I think are usually offered up for handicapped patrons.
Oh, I love those.
But we were off to the side. Yeah, because you can stretch your feet out. There was, you know, we would have moved if we would have seen anybody come in that looked like they may have needed it. But there were just no other seats
behind
us. Yeah, and
you can trip a dude if you're not careful.
You can trip a dude, especially when it's dark. You can just stick your foot out and blame it on Tina.
Yeah, say, great. Tina, what were you doing? And she'll say, what? And then the end. So Wolverine. So I was pretty excited to see it because I hated Origins so much that I thought this has to be better than that. It's based on one of the best comic adaptations of the Wolverine.
Yeah. Limited series, four-issue miniseries that Frank Miller and Chris Claremont did in the 80s.
Amazing story. Really good stuff.
Back when Wolverine was only part of one team.
Yep. Yep.
He was only part of one super team.
Yep. Wasn't working for those boys over there in the Avengers yet. Wasn't doing any kind of team-ups with other idiots.
Right.
He was an X-Man. He was a man of X.
And he was even out of the X-Men for a little while during that time.
That's true. Yeah. Remember he had his wandering years, you know, where he was like, F all you guys. Yeah. And
where he was Patch living in Madripoor.
Yep. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So so Wolverine, he shows up, does his stuff, lots of cool stuff, whatever, things happened. Mm-hmm. We're not going to spoil any of this, although I'm told by one Justin Robert Young that we might do a spoiler cast about this film. So we'll save it for spoiling. You know, we'll spoil everybody there. For whatever's worth spoiling. This isn't one of those movies with all kinds of twist endings or anything. And 90% of it is pretty predictable. You know, like the identity of, I'll just say, Robot Man. Let's just say that.
Well, you can say, I mean, anyone who knows the comics knows that there's Silver Samurai is a villain in this film.
Right. Okay. So, and the posters. Yeah, you're right. So Silver Samurai, well, I'll not call him Silver Robot Man now. I'll call him Silver Samurai.
Robot Man.
He's in it, and his identity was like, I saw it 1,000 miles away, partially because I kind of knew
that. Remember it from the comic.
You're right, but also because even if you'd never seen it, read it, you just go, yeah, it's kind of obvious what happened here. I liked the girl who played, who's the girl in Kiss Bang Moan or whatever it is, the movie with Samuel L. Jackson, what's her name again? Adam's Family Girl.
I know who you're talking about.
I know it's not Kiss
Big
Bang.
Forehead?
Yeah, Big Forehead. What's her name?
Christina Ricci.
Christina Ricci. We have the Japanese Christina
Black
Ricci
Space
in this
Moan.
Movie.
Black Snake Moan. Ooh,
Black Snake
Moan. Black Space Moan.
Black Space Moan.
Black Space Moan.
That's awesome.
It's where she's tied to the space shuttle.
Right.
chained to the space shuttle.
Ricci, shut up.
That was the year you were talking about Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and I was like, I don't think Samuel Jackson was in Kiss Kiss
I can
Bang
never
Bang.
Remember the space... What is it again? Kiss... No, Smack...
Black Snake Moan.
Smack Space Bone. Got it. Anyway,
it's Space Moan. Yes, it's very good.
Anyway, the girl in this, the one with the
Yukio.
Yeah, seeing the future girl. She looks like a Japanese version of her. Weirded me out the whole
time. She kind
of
does. I mean, she looks like she's made out of anime.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
she really does.
Big, huge eyes, and
somebody built her from a kit or something.
Right, exactly.
I love all of the... So a couple things I loved, and again, no spoilers here, but I love angry Japanese acting. It's one of my favorite things in the world.
Yeah.
And there's lots of that with subtitles. Oh, it's awesome. I love when a Japanese person is just pissed as hell at another one. And it's just a lot of... it's not even words. It's just...
The whole Shogun miniseries, the TV miniseries from the 70s or 80s, I guess that was the 80s, also was full of that.
Oh, yeah. And then pee on his back. Remember when he peed on his back? I remember that part.
I do remember that, yes.
I remember two things from Shogun. Three things. One, my mom thought that dude in the movie, whatever his name, I forget his name. He was, for a long time there, he was in like every miniseries. Richard Chamberlain, there you go. Yeah. My mom thought he was the handsomest man on earth. That was number one.
Yeah,
I remember that.
He was, man. That was...
Number two, I remember him being stuck in a underground like slave pit with a bunch of other guys in that miniseries.
That's when he got peed on.
No, that was when he got yacked on. Some dude next to him yacked on him.
Right.
Sorry,
right,
that was vivid in my memory. And then when he's
like
up top...
Like a spider hole with a great cover, yeah.
Yeah. And then up top, he's out there with... Jerkasan or whatever his name was that was in charge of the camp and threw him down on his back and proceeded to urinate on him. And those three things are all I remember. Handsome Richard Chamberlain getting yacked on in a pit, getting peed on by a guy in charge of the camp. That's all I remember about any of it. Right. Oh, and there was some side boob, I think, at some point.
Really?
Yeah, I
remember the side boob.
Some
I remember
hot Japanese
Richard
bath
Chamberlain
thing.
Walking around in a kimono.
Yeah, that happened. He was freeballing it too, you know.
Probably.
Anyway, point is, what was my point? Oh,
Wolverine,
so something about Wolverine made me have to get up in the movie. I never do this. I sat through King Kong, all 4 hours of King Kong or whatever it was, and held it. I was fine. Didn't have to pee. No problem. Many other films, all the Lord of the Rings films, no problem. Made it all the way through.
Yeah.
Even drank a big ass 32-ounce something, and still was fine. Didn't have to get up and pee. For whatever reason, Wolverine. Four different times.
That's crazy.
I had
four
to
times.
Pee it's... uncontrollably. Like, if I don't get up now, I am not. I'm either not going to get up because any movement one direction or the other is going to make me just pee on everything, or I'm going to just pee and just pee in the seat. I'm going to be like a little kid in here. I've got to get up and go. And I kept going, oh my gosh, honey, I have to pee. And she's like, then go. And I'm like, I don't want to miss anything. There's like a ninja on the roof and stuff. I don't want to miss this.
What do you expect her to say? No, wait, just hold it.
Okay. Exactly. It's like I do this to her. I give her stupid things to work with. Like I'll say things like that. And I know what the answer is already, but there's something comforting in her kind of going, well, of course, just go, you know?
See, the four times, though, it's because you once you break the seal the first time. So, like, you probably drank a big soda or a big
That's
thing
the thing
of water
I didn't. I drank water in the morning after a run, after a jog on the treadmill, but that was it. If anything, I was lacking fluid. At least I thought I was going into this. I should have drank more according to, you know, doctor, whoever, telling you to drink more when you're working out. No pop, no soda, nothing like that all day.
Really?
Yeah, nothing. Okay. Just water. That's it. And it wasn't a lot of it. And even at the movie, I had no beverage at the movie, no drink beforehand. I went to pee before the movie and couldn't really. Four times. So I started wondering what was going on. Like, what is going on here? Like, maybe my prostate went and just bloated and got all huge or something. Or maybe, I thought maybe there was something up. And I'm peeing like, this is a terrible story. I don't know why I'm describing this. But it's like the clearest spring in the mountain kind of pee too. Like, oh man, that guy's got too much vitamin B or he's not drinking enough. Right. None of that. It was like the pure spring water of Guatemala. And it was like,
if you would have stuck one of those little tabs that they use to check chlorine in your pool with all the different colors on it, it would have been the very top line.
Right. Right. I mean, I could have probably gone in a water bottle and handed it to somebody, and other than it being all hot, they would have thought it was fine to drink. Like, it looked like drinking water. And this is gross, but there's no odor to speak of. There's no like asparagus kind of problem or any of that. It's as if I was not the same person. It's like I was inhabiting somebody else. And four different times in the middle of the movie, always bad times. Like, oh my gosh, he is about to do this thing with the heart thing. Remember that? I'm like, gosh, dang, I have to be so bad. And then
apparently picked exactly the right time to leave. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When did you leave? What part?
I missed just the part where he and again, probably not a spoiler because, well, when he's having romantic interlude section of the film. Let's say that.
Yep. Got a perfect time to go. There was nothing happening.
Yes, exactly. You know, a little cutting out a log, a little blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's not a euphemism. There's
I was going to say, what? I must have seen a different scene. Well, why couldn't I have had to gone then? You lucked out.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. I guess I did, apparently. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but yours makes sense. You know, you had too much beef or something. I don't know what your deal
something.
Was.
Something. Who knows?
But
who
in
knows?
My case, it was just like, what are you doing? Why do you have this thing coming up? So to this minute, I don't know what happened. I haven't had a problem since. Didn't need to go the rest of the day. Haven't had really, you know, it's all normal since. So somebody on Facebook or somewhere suggested that it was perhaps like a nervous reaction to the intense scenes. But I'm like, what? I've seen plenty of intense scenes in a billion movies. I don't buy that one.
Oh, God, no. It definitely wasn't that. That's silly.
That is silly. I feel like I had a weird vitamin or something. Like, I did have vitamins that morning. Maybe I had a weird vitamin, and it was like, all right, enzymes to urinate, go. Beep, 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 beep. And I just had to pee. Anyway.
Good point, Shadowhawk. I did have an Activia yogurt right before the movie.
There you go.
And some Olestra-laced potato chips.
A whole can of Pringles. I'll do it to you every time. What's your diet?
So overall, let's get your,
Overall feeling.
For what you saw from the limited amount of the movie that you saw.
Did you
like it?
I think Hugh Jackman, without him, I think it's half the movie it could be. I think he's great
for sure.
And owns that role in a way that few do. And I think he was really good in it. I liked lots of it. I think there were a couple of parts that were just kind of weird and cheesy. But again, comic books, whatever. On the whole, I enjoyed it. I had a good time. I had a lot more fun with this than I did, say, Pacific Rim or something.
I thought you were going to say X-Men Origins, but that kind of goes without
saying.
Oh,
I hated Origins so bad.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Origins
Yeah, there were no
terrible.
Roger Rabbit claws in the...
All real looking. And you know what? To its credit, one thing it did really well is it got real hard and violent, and that's what you need in your... A Wolverine movie without some good, hard violence is no good. Like, what's the point?
Right.
He's the Wolverine. He's not like in the X-Men movies. You would always the claws were useless in the X-Men movies. He didn't do anything with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, occasionally he'd be like, "Oh no, I've accidentally stabbed Rogue." Spoiler.
Right. Exactly. Right. You can't. He can't do that. He can't stab people. He can't kill people in the X-Men movies.
Right. And that's too bad.
This one, no problem.
Yeah, he had no problem doing really rough stuff. Most of it off, just slightly off camera, which is actually worse, in my opinion.
Right.
Right. But when he's
hear the noise and
when he's getting all stabbed up by dad there at that one point.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Holy, jeez. I mean, they weren't messing around. The heart, mm-hmm. the heartbeat and all that. So I like that they took a PG-13 movie and made it feel a little bit R. I like that. Because you need, again, it's just, I think that's consistent with the character. So I like that. I thought it was good. What did you come away yeah. liking it?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. yeah. I it's the best Wolverine movie.
Yeah. By far.
of
the two, it's the best. Yeah.
I'd put it above X-Men 3, of course. I mean, I think.
Oh, easy. Yeah. I would too.
For me, I think it goes, X-Men 2, first, then First Class, then this. And then the first X-Men movie, and what am I forgetting? Am I forgetting anything?
No, not on that.
X-Men Origins, and then Origins at the very bottom.
Yeah, put Origins way. Let Origins be the newspaper at the bottom of the birdcage. Let that
right,
be what
exactly.
that film does, because that thing sucks.
And you know, those of you who do leave as soon as they see the credits roll, you probably don't do that during Marvel movies.
No,
you shouldn't do that during Marvel movies.
Everyone still did. You know, we're sitting there. The place is packed, full house.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone gets up. Oh, not everyone. A big chunk of the audience gets up right when the credits start. And I go, you guys aren't going to want to do that. People are looking really at nice. Me like the nerd, you know.
Nice.
And they get down to where they're kind of starting to file out. And thankfully, it's one of those where they show major credits like director, some producers,
yes.
main actors.
Yes.
And then, poof, we're into our little stinger.
Get something. Exactly.
And then everyone stops and stands there.
Right,
looking,
I hate that.
Looking like the biggest dumb place to be ever.
Like the deer in headlights, like, oh.
What? There's more to it?
Stop.
It's a Marvel movie
sure
with extra stuff?
Yeah.
I've never seen this before, except in every single one of these. So they show that, and then that was great. That got yeah. me all excited. Although, can I just say this? I don't want to give any of this away.
Okay, all right.
But, man, did they have to wheelchair them all in there? Did they all, were they all gumming their food earlier in the day? Like, I'm not an ageist,
just
Brian.
Just saying they're looking a little old.
I'm
huh?
just saying, woo, like, take off
People?
The, I'm going to give stuff away. I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know what I mean. Saying. And it yes. was one of those moments, kind of like in X-Men 3, mm-hmm. where they're putting on some weird makeup that makes it seem like, I don't know. I don't want to give anything away. I feel like I'm going to give it right. away. We're going to go way into that in the spoiler.
It does some good setup for the next film.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Not the next Wolverine film, but the next film.
The next X-Men. And let's say X-Men themed film. Let's just say
the next X-Men themed film. Yes.
Yes. Toad and Snabertooth or Snaggletooth. I almost said Snaggletooth Snabertooth. And Sabertooth together. Sabertooth and Toad. Is it Toad? Who was the frog guy?
Yeah, it's Toad. Yeah.
Oh, Toad, yeah.
Yeah, it's Toad. Yeah. yeah.
Guy that played,
Gollum.
No.
Ray Park, wasn't it?
Yeah, but Ray Park was
Gollum. I'm sorry. Yeah, not Gollum. It was the guy who played Darth Maul.
Darth Maul, thank you. Yeah. Jeez, my head hurts now from all this talk.
Ooh, that's what we need. We need a movie with Ray Park and Gollum, dude.
And Gollum. Gollum, man. Who played Gollum?
The guy who also did the...
Andy Serkis.
Yes.
Jeez.
Thank you. Jesus.
What's wrong with us? All right. My dream's coming true.
One tick mark off of our geek card.
Yeah. Hey, quick note. Last week we did some ad spots for Nerdy Canerdy Canots. Mm-hmm. They wanted people to know that their Shadowrun contest, where they're giving away a free copy of Shadowrun, they're going to extend that through the 3rd. So
oh,
there was
cool.
still a chance to win
still
it.
Got a chance?
Yep. Nerdyknots.com. K's on front
it's
of all that.
Cool paracord.
Yeah.
Paracord stuff.
Oh, I still gotta ship that to you. It's sitting right there.
Oh, Scott, my dogs can't walk without it.
What are you gonna do? They need to poo. All right. Tell me about. Oh, do you hear about the Pope? You hear about this?
I hear about this?
Yeah. So the Pope.
I did not hear about the Pope.
Pope Francis says, "Who am I to judge when it comes to the gays?" This just in. Pope Francis said Monday will not judge gays or lesbians, including gay priests, a huge shift from his predecessor, who sought to bar men with homosexual tendencies from the priesthood, and another sign that the new pope is changing the church's approach to historically marginalized groups. He says this, if someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge? Francis said in a wide-ranging news conference aboard a papal plane. My favorite part is the papal plane!
Papal planes.
Forget about all of this. Forget about the cultural significance.
Like people get high like planes. If you see me at the bar, I'm in the name.
People blame. I love this. The way that sounds. It sounds so great. Anyway.
People blame.
Anyway, it's kind of a big deal that he would say that. That's crazy. And there are people freaking out pissed, and there are people really happy, as usual. So there you go. But speaking of gay marriage and Brian.
Yes, well, so we had the big wedding this last weekend.
Yeah, your uncle.
My uncle got married. Uncle George, he met him in Vegas.
To a lady.
I think the lady you met in Vegas. I think Barb was with us.
Oh, yeah, she was. We went and got the little sandwichy things at the thing.
That's right. The stuff at the Palm.
Yeah.
So it all happened at the Red Rocks, beautiful Red Rocks Chapel. And then we had the reception at the Hilton Garden Inn in lovely Highlands Ranch, Colorado.
Oh, lovely.
And the deal, so basically I went and checked in at the hotel early because I didn't want to have to do it racing back from the chapel.
Right.
So I go there and I'm checking in and I've got my suit, my pink vest and tie suit in my hands, and I'm getting checked in.
Yeah.
And George comes up because he's there at the hotel. He's like, you're giving me a ride to the chapel so I don't ride with my bride to be.
Yeah.
And see her before the wedding. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting there at the front desk, and this woman comes in, and she's like, oh, are you guys here for George and Barb's wedding? It's a cousin that drove in from out of town. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm George's nephew, Brian. And I shake her hand, and then George is behind me. He goes, and I'm George's George.
Nice.
And so we go upstairs, and you know, George and I are you know, making jokes and probably do some geeky superhero reference or something like that. Right. And we make our way, or I make my way upstairs, and then we find out later that I don't know if it was the pink suit and tie or the pink vest and tie or the fact that we were joking or George saying that I'm George's George, but she thought, she didn't realize that George was the one getting married in the wedding.
Oh!
And she thought that the two of us were together.
Sweet, dude! You almost got gay married. So
she was surprised when she got to the ceremony and saw George up there.
That's
at the,
awesome.
At the altar.
That's awesome.
And then next to him on the other side of where the...
Greatest thing I've heard all year.
Yes.
That's fantastic, dude. Well, congratulations on your almost gay wedding to your own uncle. Jeez, what would that have been called?
And so wearing so I have the, you know, the pink vested suit, pink vested tuxedo, pink vest and tie, and the maid of honor is not a maid of honor. It's a man of honor. It's Barb's friend, Sid, a gay man who lives here in Colorado, who's been her best friend for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Coolest. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy, you know, that just meeting him, I'd be like, I want to have a drink with this guy. He is so funny and so cool and whatever. But the two of us had to go up at the same time because I'm the best man and he's the man of honor.
Right.
And George and Barb also have a dog named Lexi, a little Shih Tzu, mm-hmm. that was decked out in a pink dress with pink bows in her hair, and she almost wore pink jellies. And so the two of us had to walk the Shih Tzu down the aisle together. So if there was any question before,
right. Make sure it's real well known. Always a Shih Tzu, right?
Always a Shih Tzu.
Yeah, yeah, I have one.
No one's walking a bulldog up the aisle, or a chocolate lab or something, a big spastic chocolate lab.
Can you imagine, dude? Just peeing on everything like an untrained one. Be the greatest thing ever. Well, congrats to your uncle. That's awesome.
So there'll be photos of that surfacing, and I'll make sure to post those tadpole.
It looked beautiful. Where you guys were at.
It was
gorgeous.
Oh, God, it's gorgeous. Yeah, Red Rocks Amphitheater in the background. There was the String Cheese Incident was playing mm-hmm. on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So there was a nice cloud of green smoke hovering over the over the theater. And
yeah. That's great.
Very nice.
I was watching the documentary The West yesterday.
That's not another Ken Burns.
It is. It's actually directed by a colleague of his, but it says Ken Burns presents. It's basically Ken Burns. It's like totally his style.
does he ever take a break? Like, is there ever going to be like, you know?
I hope he never does. I love everything he does. I really do. So I think this stuff is important. It's so much fun to watch.
Ken Burns is becoming the new West Wing.
It totally is. And it's great because Tom Hanks and like, oh, there's this set of people he always uses for voices that do like reading letters and stuff. Like, I entered the plains that night at about 4:15. The first Indian I saw was, you know, it's that kind of stuff. And they always have these really famous people reading those lines. And there's a bunch of West Wing crossovers there as well, which is pretty funny. But anyway, point is, what was my point? They were talking about this passage between where you live and where I live and how like thousands of people died at trying to get from point A, which would be now modern day Denver, to point B, which is now modern day Salt Lake. Thousands of people dead.
Wow.
Trying to just get over there with a wagon.
Traverse the mountains.
Yeah, like an ox, yeah. A wagon, and two kids, and people just dying, just left and right. It's an amazing, amazing story. And man, the stuff we did to Indians, oh my gosh. Oh, so bad. Yeah. Such a hot and cold kind of period.
We should be ashamed of ourselves.
We really should. They're just now getting into the whole what cowboys really were and where the legends came from and my, you know, the stuff I'm all into. So
throwing our garbage on the side of the road and making them cry.
Bastards. All of them. All right, let's call Daryl and get this thing on the road here. I mean, just think about this, though. Just a, you know, a sparse couple hundred years ago, or let's say 150 years ago, mm-hmm. It would take you oftentimes 3 to 6 months to travel from, say, Virginia to Oregon, okay? That's how long it would take. Wow. You'd probably die. You lose your livestock. Your wife would get cholera. Your kids would all die on the way, and you have
dysentery
to bury them.
Dysentery or something.
Yeah, some horrible thing. You end up eating part of your other people that came with you because they're dead and you need the food. You know, like that's just the most hideous thing
and
ever.
And what for? Just gold? Is that what drew them?
Some of them were escaping persecution. Other people wanted just a new life. Other people thought, oh, my own land, my own farm, the mystery, the adventure, like a million reasons. That's what's so great about this particular documentary. But it's really like just intense bunch of business that people were interested in getting over here for. Take you that long to do it. Then they get the train, 1880, whatever it was. The train's now running, okay? Golden mm-hmm. Spike mm-hmm. in Utah, Utah connection. That's right. Where the two railroads intersected, that connected the east to the west. Now, instead of months, it would take you days, and you could do it in the comfort of a nice train, right? And you wouldn't die in there, usually. Now it's
still,
days.
Still get dysentery from the dining car.
Right. But now we live in a time where I can go from New York to Oregon in a matter of 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
And it's nothing. And I'm in a pair of shorts with an iPod. It's just the weirdest thing. It's so weird to me to look at that in this tiny span of relative years compared to overall human history. It's just crazy to me. Crazy.
Now, back then, when the train first started running, did people dress up for the train then as well?
Oh, yeah.
Was it considered
They were the full... I mean, well, back then, that was kind of the outfit all the time anyway, but...
I guess that's what you wore anywhere. Leave the house.
The ladies had the corsets and the collars up to the necks and the giant hair hat things, and the men would have on their four layers of whatever, and everyone smelled like crap, and, you know...
Dude, somebody showed up to the wedding. All right, this is Colorado for you. Okay. Someone showed up to the wedding with shorts, sandals, a black V-neck T-shirt, and then a beige blazer on top of it.
Did you tell him to go back to Boulder? Get the hell out of here.
I almost did, and then I found out he's a surgeon.
Oh, like, oh gosh.
Okay, so he just can't afford nice clothes.
Is that the deal? Is he like the madman surgeon from the new season of Arrested Development? That guy is great on there, by the way. What's his name? I love that guy. Oh, I love that guy. Hey, we could all be that handsome when we're... 60
yeah,
something.
Right.
Holy crap. Right. Can't think of his name. Anyway, it's called Daryl. I remember his name. I don't remember any names today except people I talk to every day. What's going on with that?
Good. Well, that's all you have to remember.
Seems like a bad sign for my age.
We'll help you with the rest of it. Okay. Yes, John Slattery, right?
Oh, it's Slattery. There it is. Yeah. Slattery. Yeah. Hey, look, it's Stump Treckner brought to you by...
Did you like The Last of Us? My friend and myself finished playing it, and we decided to talk over our feelings for the game, both good and not so good. Give us a listen on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/edesis.
Sounds good to me.
E-D-E-E-S-I-S.
No, thank you. It's important.
That way people know.
Durl, are you there? Durl?
Durl?
Mm-hmm.
Durl?
Not the upper one.
Oh. Hey, you're choppy. Why are you choppy?
Uh-oh, I am.
Oh, no, now you're not.
Oh, now you're fine.
Yeah, you're great now. You had the initial little, but apparently the NSA we'll let this one through. We're okay.
I was just talking like a cat.
Yeah, of course.
You know, when they see a bird.
Daryl's the Trek nerd, everyone. Comes on here, does Star Trek stuff. Fun week last week with making Daryl pretty much lose every day except the last day.
Right.
So in a weird way, I'm kind of sad we're going back to the normal bit of business here because... This stuff's too easy for him because he actually knows all this stuff. But we'll give it a shot anyway. Let's throw it out here. Daryl had a rough week last week thanks to Bucky Fitzy. However, Dave feels that Daryl wasn't being stumped enough, or as he wrote, Enuga. Not enough. Hmm. He wrote Enuga. Stump Enuga.
Enuga.
Enuga. Aruga. He has come up with an even harder set of questions this week. Wait for Daryl's reaction to tell him this is just a joke. Okay. Oh, I wasn't supposed to read that part. In the next generation, episode, the survivors. Yeah, very good. The Enterprise receives a distress call upon arriving at the planet. The away team discovers much of the planet to be destroyed, with the exception of a single settlement. The team approaches the house. One member of the away team gets caught in a booby trap. Who gets caught in this trap? Was it A, Dr. Crusher, B, Data, C, Geordi LaForge, or D, Commander Riker? So Crusher, Data, LaForge, or Riker got caught in a booby trap as they approached this house. I remember this episode vaguely. I remember not liking it very much. All right, Daryl, let that settle into your head a little bit while you think about it. Hold on.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
So we picked more Haribo candy.
Haribo.
Oh, yeah.
This one is got a yellow bear on it. It's a Primavera. Yeah, Primavera Forbidden.
Looks like little hard strawberries.
Rude Beeren.
Oh, no, not again.
What? These are bad?
This is also a slab of goo.
Oh, it is?
Really?
Yeah.
What the heck? Your thing must have gotten pushed through like a heat thing or something, or got sat out in the 104-degree weather or something weird.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good. Can you bite like a corner of it off?
Not a chunk of...
Probably.
All right, well, the yellow bear says Fruchtig, Softig, Bergut.
Bergut.
Mine doesn't say that.
What does yours say?
Mine says Happy Cola.
What?
Well, whoa. I think you're looking at the lot wrong one, then.
Yeah. Is that a different one? Yeah. That one there is yellow one that bear,
is,
too.
There is one that's cola. These are little pink. They look like pink... what's that cereal that's yellow that looks like this?
Oh, corn pops. Yeah, yes, they look like
they
big
look like pink corn pops.
Big pink red corn pops with a yellow bear in the front.
Is this Primavera?
Yeah, this is it.
Yes, Primavera.
This is the strawberry one. Okay.
Yeah, Fruchtig, Softig, Bergut.
With a little Yogi Bear boo-boo guy.
There's a little thing that says to tear it right there. There is no place on here where it can tear.
Yeah, that stuff's bullcrap. That tear right here thing.
Yeah. And even if you tore it like the dotted thing said, the opening wouldn't be big enough to get anything through.
This is true.
That's why I bring an X-Acto knife to a gunfight.
So
there you go. Open that. All right, I'm tossing one of these out. See you guys.
Boy, there's there a strawberry smell that wafts out of there as soon as you open
it.
Oh, gosh.
Let me
do that.
smells like somebody shoved some Nestle Strawberry Quick into the ventilation system.
Or one of your sisters, like those dolls that used to smell like the flavors they were.
Yeah, strawberry shortcake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who was the blueberry girl? She was kind of hot. I was into the blueberry girl.
Muffin. Is her name Blueberry Muffin?
Was it?
I don't know.
It's not good. all right, so here you go.
Muffin top,
that was it. So here is the here they are. They are literally like corn pops. I think you're right about the shape.
Yeah.
So here we go. Yeah. Try this out. What's inside there?
Goo.
Gooey stuff.
It's gummy. It's gummy wrapped in sugar.
Boy, you know when there's too much sugar in something where you can crunch the granule sugars. You know? My fillings are just going, what are you doing to me? That's not gummy in there. That's like almost like
concentrated sugar.
Yeah, like nougat sugar. Oh, that's,
no, it's like
that's too much. Ooh.
I'm gonna cut one of these open with scissors and see what's in there.
Let's see what's inside.
Oh, it's white.
Yeah, it's all
probably
white.
Probably is sugar.
Oh, really?
These aren't bad. They're just really they're overpowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you need somebody with a sugar deficiency, this is for them.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm having a crash. Here, eat one of these. You'll be good all day.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, whew. That was something else right there.
Yeah, it was.
Daryl, you got any birthdays while I try to wash this down?
Oh, we do. And I'll give you a clue, see if you can guess. Cool Whip.
Cool Whip. Cool Whip. Cool Whip. I guess it would be Will Wheaton.
Will Wheaton.
That's right.
Oh, 41, I'll bet.
41.
Yeah. I remember the only reason I know that is he was 40 last year because they did a big whoop. That's great. Congratulations to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He continues to age gracefully in the internet world.
That's right. With his with his beard. With his beard that freaks everybody out.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about his beard.
Will Wheaton with a beard. That's silly.
Yeah, what do you think about that? That's like, I don't know. I feel like Wesley's trying to be more like Reich.
He should always be baby-faced and young and naive. And
Oh, by the way, one of my favorite stories lately, we were doing Comic Dorks, and Scott Kurtz was talking about Comic-Con. He just got back from it, and he was talking about years past. And a couple of years ago, I want to say 09, him and Chris Straub were just doing like they do. They're hanging out late at night, hotels and bars and things. And they're in this one hotel bar that they thought nobody would be in. It's kind of a dump. Nobody's really around there. And they walk in there, and guess who's in there hanging around just together? Guess what? Two Star Trek actors are hanging out.
This is Next Generation era?
It's crossover, two shows.
Oh, okay.
It's shocking. To me, it's a weird mix. Okay, Cisco.
Cisco and Pulaski.
That would be funny. No, it was Cisco. You're right about the first one.
So really?
Avery Brooks and Riker, Jonathan Frakes, hanging out at this piano bar. And these guys get there, and apparently Straub's like this giant Cisco fan, just loves him. His favorite dude in all Star Trek. And even though he's supposed to be a little crazy, he tells them to come on up. Just come on, have a seat. Doesn't know who they are. And says, sit down. And they start playing the piano with them and singing and hanging out.
Wow.
How crazy is that? Riker, Cisco, awesome. And then Kurtz and Straub. It's too crazy. Anyway, funny story. Wow. All right, Daryl. Happy birthday to Wesley. Wesley, I would like to now get back to the question, which asks which person got caught in a trap when they walked up to this house on this planet had been wiped out except for one house. Was it Crusher? Was it Data? Was it Geordi? Or was it Riker? Riker.
Hmm.
Actually, have a little Riker doll.
It should be Crusher. It should be Crusher because that would fit with the birthday, but I don't think it is.
I don't know. Is it?
Probably not. Well, maybe it is. I don't know. Well, maybe it's not.
I have no idea.
My first thought was Geordi.
Yeah.
he's one of the options.
He is one of the guys on this list.
Yeah, and Riker is also an option. And what was the last one?
Data. Sorry.
Data.
Yep.
Is the other option.
Data.
How annoying is radio when somebody goes, try to stop doing that. That's annoying. Yeah, Data was the other guy.
Great. I don't remember this. Let's see. What other distractions do I have? I guess I don't have any.
Look over there. Okay, you got me.
Maybe I'll just stay with... Now, wait. Read the question again.
All right.
Maybe I need to know that.
All right, so here you go. Rough week.
Sentence.
The episode of The Survivors. The Enterprise receives this distress call. They arrive on this planet. The Way team discovers most of the planet to be destroyed with the exception of a single settlement. The team approaches the house. This house that is obviously there and not destroyed. One member of the Way team gets caught up in a booby trap. And then so now the question is who?
Richard Hatch.
Richard Hatch. He's in everything. He comes to, hey, guess who's coming to Salt Lake City Comic Con? I'm shocked. Richard Hatch will be here.
No way, really?
Unbelievable.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
He doesn't go to cons.
He's making time.
Right. He doesn't go to any cons, even ones that are like Star Trek cons. He doesn't even go to those. Oh, wait.
Really?
I'm sorry. He goes to all of them.
No, he goes to everything. He probably could get him to Nerdtacular.
I probably could. And also, speaking of which, dude, I got a text or a tweet yesterday about my Admiral Snack Bar print.
Yes.
Chief Tyrell from Battlestar Galactica.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I forget his real name every time I try to think of it. But anyway,
he's a Cylon, by the way.
I know. Spoiler.
He's a Cylon.
He replied back and said, "I love your stuff. Keep making more." I mean, how nice is that?
Wow.
To hear that from a Cylon. So I was impressed. Spoiler.
It's very cool.
All right, Daryl. Sorry. Back to you. Forget about that. Forget about it. Remember this. Only this. Who is this person? Who got caught in the booby trap?
Well, if I. Does this say Dr. Crusher or Wesley Crusher?
It says Dr. Crusher.
Dr. Crusher.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. Crusher the Elder.
Yeah, Crusher the Elder.
Crusher the Red.
Right. Nice.
Not Crusher the Brown.
Right. Well said.
Maybe I will go with that.
Okay.
Maybe. Because it kind of matches up with today's birthday.
Did she go when she got pulled up? Did she go? Oh no!
Yeah, who knows? She might have. All right, let's find out if. let's find out if it's her. Let's imagine it's her.
Imagine.
All right, here we go. Is it judges?
Nah.
Nope, it's not. Nah. It's Commander Riker. Riker gets caught in the snare and ends up hanging upside down. In this episode, it turns out that the man who has this house is an immortal being with great powers. He created the house and his wife and had exiled himself there. Here's a clip of Riker getting caught in the trap. It's actually video, so you can't see this, but you'll hear it. So here you go. Right here.
Individual. I guess a frontal assault is unwarranted. Stay here. I think I'll try an old-fashioned knock at the door.
It's all overdubbed.
Commander, wait! There's something concealed under the surface!
That's awesome, dude! Oh, you guys need to see that.
What are
the
you
whole
doing,
sentence
man?
Of...
This is private.
There's something concealed under the surface! How about just... It's a trap!
Yeah, that was awesome.
Speaking of Admiral Snack Bar...
Yeah, couldn't you just say...
It's a trap! Stop!
Couldn't Geordi just say... Yeah, couldn't he just say, I mean, he's the one that sees it because he sees something weird. Just yes, yell, stop! Right. Don't
exactly.
go. Captain,
there's
set a spell.
There's something concealed under the surface. I can tell with my heat readings that there's a displacement, something over there.
It's too late.
Oh, just go.
Riker, I've got a story to tell. Set a spell and let me tell you an old tale that I can tell you about the thing. All right.
Then I will have to take the trap.
All right. There you go. Daryl is kicked off the week with a bang and gotten this first question wrong. You want to cast more Daryl? You can on Twitter, The Trek Nerd, on his show, This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, you got a quote for us to try to guess?
Yes, I do.
All right.
And I think I'll probably read it now.
All right.
I'm tired of deciding which... Oh. No, I'm not going to give you a clue yet. I'll wait till you get it wrong.
Right.
I'm tired of deciding which mission is too risky and who's going on the landing party and who doesn't and who lives and who dies.
Oh, man. Oof. Who decides? Someone's deciding. I'm going to give it to Kirk.
Yeah, I'll say Picard.
Pickard? Okay, now that you've gotten it wrong, this is a very early episode. Of TOS.
Oh,
so is it
Pike?
Well, now it's too easy.
Well done, Daryl. Well done. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the following. I'm sponsoring a segment for my fiance, Mike, who is a huge fan of the show. Happy birthday, Mike Ceratops. Signed, Laura.
Oh, hello, Mike, and happy birthday. If you're a huge
congratulations,
fan of
Mike and Laura, on your eventual upcoming nuptials.
Yes. May your weddings be white? I don't know.
Sure.
That's racist.
Something.
Let's get to the...
Let's
get to the news. Imagine there's some news.
Imagine.
All right. Daryl had a rough week. That's not the right one. Here it is. Hans Linscht, the Ramen Raider.
Linesk.
The Ramen Raider. He's actually known as the Ramen Raider. Has eaten more than 1,100 kinds of instant ramen so that we don't have to.
Right. Thank goodness for that. Saving us all.
Yeah, well, yeah. A Korean newspaper dubbed Lynch the God of Ramen. Japanese television featured interviews with him, and he's attracted the notice of noodle manufacturers and retailers who have started sending him noodles to review, inviting him to factories and offering up executives for interviews. I wouldn't want to go to a ramen factory, to be honest. That would freak me out.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Well, maybe if they paid for it.
I'd like to see how they fold it into those little bricks. So, like, it's got to be flimsy,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And then as it hardens, it just gets formed in those little bricks, the little dense bricks.
Yeah. It's got to be. He's legally blind, by the way, not employed, only stops writing reviews when he's on a vacation. But this serious noodle hobbyist or hobby of his has led to some media kerfuffles, like the time he posted his top 10 instant noodles of all time list and didn't include any noodles from Taiwan, according to the GoSkagit.com. Tens of thousands of Taiwanese people commented on the Ramen Raider and Leash eventually offering apology, or he did. Lynch, I don't like his name. I would like to just call him Tom or something else.
I think it's Linesh or Linesk.
I'm going to say Hans.
Okay, call him Hans. All right. Sure.
Hans also caught some plaque and he posted a list of the world's worst ramen noodles. It is only ramen that fascinates him, though. It's not the only thing that does. He previously reviewed about 250 hot sauces all in the same weekend.
Wow. and then he went and saw Wolverine.
Yeah. Oh, gotta go. Thanks for the love scene. Dude's body fell from an airplane on its way from France to Nigeria. Check this out. Check it out. You hear about this? Niger? Still Niger, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just making sure I'm still using that word right. Interior minister say, not on its way to Nigeria, Niger.
Well, the top thing says, oh, did you write the headline?
No. I don't know why that's wrong. Okay. Or did I? Maybe I did. And if I did, then that makes me dumb. Anyway, it's their interior ministry says a body fell from an Air France plane as it approached the West African country's capital, Niamey, and was discovered lifeless in a western suburb. Really, you think, after falling from a plane?
30,000 feet, sure, okay, yeah.
Okay, I'll buy that. Abdu Labo said a resident was standing just a few meters from where the body landed around 5 a.m. Thursday. What are you doing up at 5 a.m.? He said police arrived and found the lifeless body of a black person lying in blood. He also said blood had been spotted on the left wing of the plane. Labo said the plane was coming from Burkina Faso's capital. Oh, boy. Look at that word. Ouagadougou. What is that?
Ouagadougou.
All right. You're so much better at these big words.
Yeah, you know, I make it up. If I make it sound convincing... If I make it sound smooth and convincing, then you'll go with that pronunciation.
All right. It was scheduled to continue on to Paris. Officials were holding the plane in Niamey so crew members and passengers could be interviewed. Investigators in Abu Dhabi are also looking into the conditions in which the passengers boarded. So they think maybe somebody got out on a wing and never got in the plane and just the plane took
and
off.
Held and on there the entire time?
Yeah, held on for a bunch of time until he passed out. I mean, who knows? That's the problem. That or got pushed out of the plane. And if they did that, that would have decompressed the airplane and people would have noticed.
Exactly. They would have known. Yeah. I mean, or known. It seems like he was up in the landing gear area, maybe.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, that's true. Could have ridden up in there trying to do a Steven Seagal move or something.
Right. Exactly. And then and then when the landing gear drops out as the plane's coming in to land, it's like, oh.
Oops. That's weird. Yes. I'd like to know how this turns out.
It wasn't from France, though. So it was coming from Ouagadougou. Ouagadougou.
Yeah.
And then going to Niger. So.
Yeah, and eventually on to France. So they were going to make the stop, and they did. And then it was supposed to continue to France, but it doesn't matter.
I wonder how long a flight that is.
I don't know that this headline
he had to be in the landing gear area. You can't hold on to the. Yeah, there's
only,
no like.
That's only movies you can do that in.
Right, exactly. There's a man on the wing of his plane.
Seinfeld episode I missed somehow. No, wait, there was an episode, wasn't there? Wasn't there something where he thought he saw somebody on a plane? What was the deal with that?
No, that was Twilight Zone. You're thinking of...
No, I know. I think I am mixing the two up because your voice threw me off. There's a guy on the plane!
It was, Kramer... got water in his ear and started jumping up and down trying to get the water out when he was on a plane and forced a landing.
I'm having weird
flashback or deja vu or something.
I'm mixing them all up, but anyway, my headline be more not appropriate for the rest of the article? They were not on their way to France. It wasn't Nigeria.
You did get it right that there was a dude.
Right. I got that right.
And it was Air France, so I can see why you'd say that.
It'd only be worse if it was like a lady.
More information on this.
It's really stupid.
They've got to know where he was, right?
That's what I want to know, but they don't say. That's why we need more. Someone follow up on this. Get the latest. Get the breaking news. Yeah. Beep, 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 beep. Tweaked Audio sponsoring the program. Later on, we have Len from Jawbone Radio coming on the show. And I bet if I asked him.
Leadbone,
right.
Yeah.
He's got a lead bone. If I asked him what he thought would sound better in his ears, just regular crappy earbuds or Tweaked Audio, I bet he'd say Tweaked Audio. I bet everyone would. If you've had a chance to use them, then you know. They're engineered for durability.
Engineered for durability.
Noise reduction. Compatibility. Lifetime warranty on all of it, guys. Don't worry about it. You get it? You got it? You're good. Go check them out for life. That's right. For your whole life. Like, I hope to make it to 60. And if I do, Tweaked Audio,
you know,
baby.
Those earbuds will be going strong.
That's right. I'll go, fall over it, but my earbuds will still be playing, I don't know, whatever the hell it is I'm listening to. If you want to get to 33% 33% discount, you can. Use Stream at checkout right now at tweakedaudio.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop and is brought to you by...
Allie Thompson makes paintings that are perfect for your geeky home. Weird and awesome. She's also a street photographer who documents the amazing street art of Philadelphia. Check it all out at AllieThompsonArt.com. That's A-L-I Thompson. art.com. You can also subscribe for $10 a month to receive a print or a Polaroid every month delivered right to you. Just click on subscribe at AllieThompsonArt.com. That's AlliThompsonArt.com. Include the code MorningStream in the PayPal notes on your subscription to get an extra print for free.
Whoa, what? That's amazing.
I'm serious.
She also helped me help my daughter find sources for Polaroid film, which is really hard to get.
Gotcha. Wow.
Because you can't get that.
That is hard. Yeah, these days, right. And that is Thompson with a P. Thompson, by the way.
Yeah,
thank you, Cleo, for asking.
Yes, thank you for asking.
Thompson.
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 The Wolverine claws up $55 million in its opening weekend. Hugh Jackman was a bigger draw overseas, however. Plenty of star power to the new film. Latest X-Men installment fizzled in its North American debut. People don't think it did as well as it should have. The Conjuring took another leap forward, reaching $100 million after only 10 days. People like the horror movies. Mm-hmm. With Despicable Me continuing to hang around in the top three, thanks to a steady field of money earners, the box office was up a healthy 25% over the same weekend last year, with the top five films all earning more than $10 million each. The Wolverine was saddled with the task of overcoming bad taste left by the mediocre first Hugh Jackman-centric X-Men vehicle, X-Men Origins Wolverine. The negative perception likely played into the soft $55 million opening, a big 35% drop from the first 3 days of Origins. Wow, that opened at $85 million. Well, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression, do you?
No, you really don't. Wow.
Movies. Fox put all their Wolverine cards into Hugh Jackman, the only recognizable mutant in the film. It's not exactly true. Sort of.
Yeah.
Geritol career came in later.
I see what you're saying.
As well as 3D surcharges, neither worked out as Wolverine stumbled and didn't play to the blockbuster status previous franchise films did. I think it'll do okay over the long haul, because I think this is the kind of movie where people are concerned because the last one sucked. They go see it and they're like, oh, this isn't too bad. I'm going to tell my friends. And then you have a steadier...
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it'll
be
fine.
They're waiting for the reviews to come out and stuff, sure.
Amanda Bynes. Her parents say she's paranoid and hemorrhaging money. Look at all this money.
That money.
The parents of Amanda Bynes believe she is a substance abuser who has become paranoid, delusional, and is draining her bank account. This according to legal documents obtained by TMZ. Amanda's parents filed papers in an attempt to win a temporary conservatorship. In the documents, they say Amanda has become extremely paranoid about being watched, and she covers smoke alarms with towels and tapes windows shut to prevent cameras from shooting her. The parents go on, Amanda has a profound issue with her body image and is obsessed with the fact that she and others are ugly. Parents say Amanda has $4 million in the bank that is blowing huge amounts of cash. Really? She's got, that's a lot of cash for Nickelodeon girl. For,
I was going to say, it was Nickelodeon or Disney Channel or something?
It was Nickelodeon, I think. Nickelodeon. Okay. Nickelodeon. Disney and Nickelodeon combined to be Dickelodeon, by the way. So she did that movie about where she played a dude. What was that called? She's the Man or something?
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
And that did all right. She spent $1.2 million in a very short amount of time. Amanda withdrew $100K on June 4th and another $100K on June 2nd, or July 2nd. And her parents have no idea where the money went, but they believe she spends a substantial amount for marijuana and other illegal substances.
I think it's just, I mean, I don't think we'd be paying any attention to her if she wasn't doing this. It's like, oh, okay, Amanda Bynes, great. But the fact that she's taping, it's the fact that she's so obsessed with being, you know, putting on these ridiculous wigs to make sure people don't see her and identify her and taping her windows shut and stuff like that, that I think is making people watch her more.
Oh, of course. And if you don't want to be seen in public, don't go around with a towel over your head.
Right, exactly.
Or whatever you're doing. Or don't, you know what? Get off Twitter.
Right.
If you don't want to be out there like that, then don't be out there like that.
Fake Twitter account. If you really feel the need to spout off 140 characters a shot, then get a new Twitter account that has nothing to do with the words Amanda or Bynes.
Or Bynes, right.
You won't have any followers, but at least you can say what you want to say in the comfort of your own living room.
In the state of mind she's in, she could open an account called Not Amanda Bynes. That seems about right to me.
Right, right.
Then no one will believe it's not you.
Right. If that already isn't taken, somebody needs to grab it.
Finally in the news, just
put out a bunch of tweets that say, this is not Amanda Bynes. I swear to God, this is not Amanda Bynes.
You are not ugly.
That's the only tweet.
Yeah. Bieber won't stop spitting on his fans. Kind of sew things up here with a Bieber story. Okay. Justin Bieber was photographed hawking a loogie off his balcony into a crowd of adoring, if misguided, fans below. Last week, we told you he was in trouble again after he got into an altercation with a dude at a club and spit in his face. He also got in a fight with a neighbor a few months back in which he shoved the guy and spit in his face. Who the hell spits on people after grade school is what this article asks. It's a damn good question.
It is a really good question. It's funny to see it in an article, but...
I mean, how douchey are you that you're spitting into a crowd? And this is the thing that pisses me off. Yeah, this is what pisses me off about this kid. All right? Some people want to know why I get so irritated with Justin Bieber.
Sure.
They show a behind... So a few days ago, somebody shot a Vine or a short Instagram video or something of him psyching himself up backstage before a show. And the guy holding the camera says, What are you doing this for? And he's kind of like Rocky. He's looking like Rocky, kind of going like this. And he goes, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this to show that how much I appreciate all the talent he's given me. I'm going to share it with the people. I'm going to share it with the world. All right, so is that your platform? Then don't get up on the balcony and hawk loogies on people. Don't spit on people.
Exactly.
You little douche. Oh, I don't like him.
I want to be taken seriously as an artist.
I don't hold with it, bub. I don't hold with it. He needs to remember. You wipe up after lunch if you're Justin Bieber. The rest of us?
You wipe up after breakfast.
That's right. And what do I call
whichever.
It?
Johnson's Jubilee.
That's right. We're done with this. Let's get out of the news. We got Len Peralta coming up soon. Running a tiny bit late. Len, if you're listening, we'll get to you here in a second. Talking about his relaunch of Jawbone Radio. I'm excited because all old friends here. It's an exciting chance to kind of hang out and talk. And Steven's gone today, so that's another great excuse to fill that time, right? Exactly. The Geek Food Lady should be on after that. We're talking about Dutch oven cooking today. You know what I mean.
Nice. Yeah.
And we have your emails after that. But before all of that, a song.
Okay, this one's going out to Joshua. Got this in last minute. Talk about last second, but you know, it's like, all right, I'll work it in. He says, Dear Sulfur and Boron, I know this is short notice, but I'm hoping this gets read on July 29th, as it will be my 29th cycle on this planet and just 1 year away from Carousel. Nice reference. Also, I share the birthday with Will Wheaton and David Warner, so there's my Star Trek connection.
Yeah.
I'd like to request the cover of the Modest Mouse song Float On, done by Ben Lee. I stumbled across this a while back and took a liking to it. I wasn't able to attend N13 due to a big combination of my daughter being born, first one born on my side of the family, in at least five generations.
That's terrible. I shouldn't have hit the, sorry. Should have said boo.
for not making it to Nerdtacular.
Boo. Anyway.
And my son's fourth birthday, but hope to go to Nerdtacular 14 next year, depending on when it is. Love the show, though. Couldn't think of a snappy one-liner. Josh, Grayfield in the tadpole when I can sneak in there at work. Nice. So happy birthday, Josh. And we got it right here. Ben Lee right here doing Modest Mouse. This comes from a 7-inch single. I think it was recorded for a radio show, some sort of in-studio thing, because the quality is a little – I mean, it's all right.
Sure.
Probably won't even notice it over the podcast.
It's a little bootleggy is what you're saying. It's fine.
It's a little bootleggy.
Sure.
But he released this officially, so it's not like, you know, it's not – nothing wrong with this. You can listen to it. It's okay. And it is really good, especially you got some funny moments in here. So here's Ben Lee and his cover of Modest Mouse's Float On.
Awesome. Here it is. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
One, two, three, two, three, four. Drove off, sometimes life's okay. I ran my mouth off a bit too much. Oh, what did I say? Well, you just laughed it off, it was all okay.
Florence Henderson using Clean and Shine in the kitchen. And this is Florence Henderson using Clean and Shine in the living room. Wait a minute, Florence, that's a walnut table. How can a product that cleans and shines countertops, appliances, and all these kinds of surfaces polish wood furniture? Nobody knows more about shine than the Johnson Wax people. Their formula for clean and shine gives each surface just what it needs. Looks beautiful? Looks beautiful. Clean and shine. For the kitchen? For the living room? For every room.
That's very distressing.
Very distressing.
The Morning Stream. You're soaking in it.
Hello, everybody. We're back. Florence Henderson talking to herself. It's pretty awesome.
I know. It's crazy. The magic of overdubbing and multi-track recording.
It's an incredible piece of time we live in right
Technology,
now.
Technology, yes.
It makes my next wipe-up right time. Yeah, right. Makes wipe-up time much easier.
Makes the next wipe-up easier.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
I got a lot out of that commercial. All this wiping.
Yeah, you did. Well, it's a lot of wiping up, yeah.
Let's get Mr. Len Peralta on the line and see what he's up to. Can't even talk today. Haven't had him on the show in a while. Mr. Len Peralta, are you there?
I am.
Oh my gosh. Let's play a little Len theme for him. Peralta. How about this one?
Yeah.
There you go.
It's like it should be the Katamari Damacy theme, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. No kidding. Dude, it's Len Peralta, everybody, from the soon-to-be rebooted, with your help, Jawbone Radio, also Geek a Week and a trillion other things. 10 State. Oh, my gosh. We won't even get started on that till later. We'll talk about all the crap
you're
involved in.
Len Peralta's Kickstarter of the month.
Right.
That's what it is.
That's the way it seems, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's all right. You got.
It's all right, yeah.
This one is actually, and Nora gives her apologies because I said we should probably do this together, like on on the show. But she actually has to leave for work right now. So
yeah. I know one thing about Nora, and it's this. And it's been a while since I've heard her, voice to voice, but she's the hardest working mother I've ever talked to in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
You would get no argument from me on that, or from her.
Yeah,
I mean,
you guys don't understand. Like, the Peraltas not only are extremely talented and hardworking people, they also have a whole ton of kids who are all really, really 30, smart.
32, I think.
32,
last count.
Right, 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 right. Maybe 33. We're not sure what's going on in the attic. But they are, like, all of them, like, excelling in these various areas and doing amazing stuff. I mean, you guys really are kind of like this. It seems impossible what you guys pull off, and then you get to actually see it, and you're like, holy crap, they're doing a bang-up job out there in, the larger parts of the Midwest. So, nice job.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And that's part of the reason why we wanted to bring Jawbone back. It just got harder and harder to do just because of, obviously our family size and just our different commitments and things like that.
Yeah.
And I don't have to tell you, Scott or Brian, about, finding the commitment to do this,
Yeah.
But what was interesting about the show was that we had a nice little pocket of listeners, and they sort of lost track with us and the things that have happened with us. And so much has happened over the past 2 years, just between our, with our family and just everything else. It'd be great to kind of catch people up. But the reason why I'm doing the Kickstarter, would be easy enough just to say, hey, let's open up the mics and let's do it again. Is when I, like, the technology I'm using is a little bit, it's a little bit outdated.
It was really good in 2005.
Yeah,
but,
exactly. So and with Geek Week and everything else, I'm thinking it's time to do it. But it would be great if we could upgrade some of the equipment in the studio and stuff like that to actually do it properly. So
sure.
I know the podcasting world is sort of like, originally was all about, let's just go and do it. Let's just go and do it. I'd rather hit it with a nice sound.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, so let's back this truck up just a tiny bit. Back when, in the day. So let's talk podcast alley days, like 04, 05, 06. All right.
Where I met both of you guys.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And we've said many times on the show, and you probably never even heard us say this, but, or I don't know if you have, maybe you have, but we've talked a bunch of times how the connection between Brian and I, other than I listened to Coverville back in the day and just knew him as Brian who did that Coverville show, our whole getting together and what would eventually become FilmSack and now TMS and all of our collaborations all really came from an introduction you made – by saying, hey, you should listen to this other thing.
The Instance. Yeah. I'm going to be on the Instance talking about my Warlock turning 60 in World of Warcraft. I'm like, right, what the hell's the Instance? What the hell's a World of Warcraft?
Right.
So what the hell's a Warlock?
It's great because those days of all that kind of introduction stuff was a really cool time of like sharing and community. And I think it's continued to this day. But what was really cool is there was also the kind of this movement of shows that people would call couple casts or couples casts. Mm-hmm. By far and away, if you listen to Len and Nora, that was your favorite one. And a huge part of that was Len, but a huger part of that was Nora is so awesome.
Yes. It was her grounding, like, you know, she kind of brought you back down to earth on things. Like, no, I want to get this bees in a basket thing. I want this thing off. And she'd be kind of like the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Right. And that was the one thing, you know, it's sort of interesting. And I found it very interesting when we started talking about this not that long ago, Nora and I, about rebooting. I was just surprised that she wanted to do it because it is interesting. She is unlike any other podcasting voice out there. I always called her the reluctant podcaster because I sort of pulled her along into this world. And she never really fully assimilated, which I felt was great because we are so ingrained in what we're doing that sometimes we forget there are real people out there that don't understand what we're talking about.
Right.
and she brought this interesting feel into the show, which is, you know, it's very difficult to find that, and I haven't heard a show like that where the female co-host has a certain feel like she does. So I feel it's in a lot of ways, yes, it'd be great to come back, but I also find it very interesting that she's the one that wanted to come back and bring her voice back into the podcasting world, because I think it's long been missed.
Oh,
hopefully her enthusiasm for coming back is not going to be reflected. Hopefully she'll still sound as reluctant as ever to be.
No. It's true. She's she hasn't changed a bit, and I don't expect
enthusiastically reluctant.
Exactly. No, she's not going to change automatically. I don't think she can ever change. It's just
I love it. Just, no, don't go changing, because toward the ends of episodes, my favorite thing would be you'd be going like an hour and a half or something, and you get toward the end and you'd go, so what do you think? You think we ought to something, something? And she'd go, Lenny, I have to go feed the children. Right. And she'd just freaking get up and leave. And you'd play it out. You'd play your music out or whatever. And I would laugh till like the dawn. I thought it was the funniest thing. And it's the one regret I've ever had. Like, some would argue I've parlayed early podcasting experience into something kind of big and weird. And I'm really proud of what I've done with podcasting. And it's really grown for me, and it's a huge part of what I do, and it what helped me get out and do my own business. And all these things are true. But if I ever had one regret, it was this feeling I always had, like, man, I want to do a couples cast like Len and Nora do. I want me and Kim to sit down and do it.
You did a little bit. You had your food show.
Yeah, we did that for a little while. But it was and I hit that thing you guys hit, which is, man, this is really hard to manage. Like, this is hard to do.
Are you saying that the Morning Stream is not a couple cast?
Well, in today, you know what? Maybe in today's more open era, you and I can let people know what's really going on.
We can
on.
Finally come out right. as a couple cast.
but now I don't have to worry about this anymore because Len and Nora will be coming back. So people need to go to Kickstarter. They need to search for Job on Radio. It's not hard. It's the first thing that comes up. And support this thing. How many days left do we have on the campaign?
We've got 12 days left, and we do need like a flow of people coming in. We're at about 34%, and it'd be great if we could at least hit 50, hopefully by the end of the week, if possible, or just fund the thing. It'd be great. So, old listeners of Jawbone, if you guys are fans, I used to be on ELR and Coverville and all that stuff too. Yep. It's been a while. But we're still around. So if you guys remember us, or even if you don't remember us, want to hear more of what this strange craziness that we're talking about, it'd be great to help us fund it.
It'd be awesome. Are you gonna bring the blog for it back as well? There was always funny and great stuff on there.
Yeah. It's Geek Week was the thing that kind of pulled me away a lot from just regular podcasting and. It became hard to do. I mean, I don't have to tell you guys, just do multiple shows per week, especially with everything else going on. So something had to give. And I just said, look, we're going to have, you know, this was moving in this direction. I'm going to kind of set, you know, I'm going to kind of separate the two. And then it just got neglected.
Right,
so,
right.
But I never ever said that, I never ever came out and said, we've pod faded, because it, to me, it was still always there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to Tom Merritt about this too. And it's the same sort of thing. It's like, you're not completely gone. You can always come back and bring it back. So
yeah, this is the medium we live in. We control the rules, damn it. We're the ones in charge. Screw the FCC. F you guys. F the radio stations. Stand and deliver. All right. Well, it's awesome. You know, people need to support it. Follow him on Twitter at it used to be Jawbone Len or something, but now it's changed.
Yeah, Jawbone. It was Jawbone Radio, actually, but now it's just Len Peralta.
Oh, you did like me. I did the same thing. Switched to my real name. Once I got a hold of my real name, and that guy, by the way, is still pissed at me. It's a long story. I'll tell it a different day. He is. This other Scott Johnson was like, I don't need it. I don't use Twitter. You can have it. I'm like, oh, sweet. I took it about a month later. Hey, I think I changed my mind. Can I have that name back? I want to use that. Nope. Not a chance, buddy.
Oh, my gosh.
Indian giver.
By the way.
Yeah. That's a terrible. Isn't that a racist term, Indian giver? I probably shouldn't use that term. It's not nice.
I don't think that's appropriate anymore.
Okay, all right.
How many Geek a Week cards have there been?
There have been close to 70.
Jeez.
Wow.
And I'm actually, you know, it's funny because I'm you say a Kickstarter of the month. I'm I'm actually looking to do another one with Geek a Week soon.
Mm.
I'm still working out the details on that, but it's there's some pretty cool stuff on the way. I just had to take a break from it just because I'm working on two comics at right now and
Tenth State
and one with Bill Corbett from Mystery from Rift Tracks.
Oh.
Called Superpowered Revenge Christmas. It's right now. I'm actually, as we're speaking, I'm penciling pages 125.
Awesome. No, that's good. I'm stoked about it. I remember when that was up, and I was really stoked about how that was going to turn out. Always have cool projects going on, for sure. We have some joint friends that asked me once, why am I not a Geek a Week card? And I said, Len's saving the big guns for later, man.
That's
He's saving it for the big moment.
Believe me. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, I'm finding ways to put people in when I can.
Right.
What I learned, I did a little experiment with the Legends of Video Games, where I only talked to video game people.
Right.
And what I learned from that project is that it was incredibly difficult to just do a short set with everybody that should be in it.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah, that's such a huge pool of potentials.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can actually do several like that.
Yeah.
But I love to do a podcasting one. I love to do a vidcasting one. I love to do comic book heroes, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So there are some things kind of coming down the line, hopefully soon. And Geek Week is not gone either.
Oh, fantastic! And this is the best part about Jawbone Radio, is you'll get to hear about these and other projects from this kind of central place, and you get to hear Nora's take on it all, and having her put Len in his place is always a hoot. So do support it, everybody. It's Kickstarter.com. Search for Jawbone Radio. Support it. You got a few days left. It's great stuff, and I know you'll appreciate it like we will. So. Absolutely. Do it. Get behind him.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you guys having me on.
It's our pleasure, dude.
Yeah,
we do it anytime. Pleasure. So let us know how things go, and if it all works out, we'll get you on again and talk about you know, your plans and what's going on and all that.
Absolutely.
Hey, promise me, Len, that the Pickle Man will somehow make an appearance.
Oh, Lord.
In
season X. All those old things.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, can we get you in the top 10 on podcast alley? If we could,
yeah.
Vote for me on Podcast Alley.
What was the name of that? God. What was that Mac podcatcher app that everybody?
Free Life. Oh, what was the? No, I thought you were talking about Talk Free Radio.
No, it was
Radio Talk. The one that always was number one, but no one ever listened to it.
Right. Podcast right. Banana or was Banana, whatever. There was something. It was some
but,
weird.
Well,
it was all
Pickle was like.
Yeah, there was the Pickle thing, but
called the podcast Pickle. Yeah.
Right, and that was like a website and a hosting thing and some whatever it was trying to be. But there was like all these weird like catchers and pre-iTunes weirdness that we were all involved in, and it feels like a decade ago, and I realized today it almost is. So
it is almost a decade ago. Yeah, it's hilarious. I think back to those times when. I mean, when everybody was kind of learning from each other and kind of figuring things out, and it was just such a weird time.
Yeah, really weird. Such a Wild West kind of time. It still kind of is in many ways, but I just remember raising my fist going, who is Keith and the girl, and why are they number one this week? So, yeah, good times. Support him, everybody. It's Len Peralta, friend and we'll just call him brother of the program. have a good one. Give Nora our best and your 32 children.
Will do. Thank you so much.
I know. He needs to kickstart like a, I don't know, his next kid.
Kickstart.
Kickstart my 33rd kid.
Seven.
Yeah.
Eight?
I think it's seven right now, right? They have seven?
I think it is. I think they have seven, yes.
It would be one thing if they were seven little bastards, but they're seven brilliant children. Like just.
Right. And they're all creative.
Yeah.
You know, it's like all artists and stuff like that. I mean, you know, we foster creative talent when you're creative talent yourself.
Yeah.
But I joke about the Kickstarter of the Month thing, but it's made for the kinds of stuff he does. Mm-hmm. It's the way that we can create create an income and be able to do the things we want to do and live off of it. Yeah. So good on him.
Yeah, projects you want to get done and you couldn't do them otherwise.
If I had the wherewithal to do an album a month, a kickstarted cover album a month, dude, I'd be doing it.
Whoa,
absolutely.
Hold on now, think about that.
I would.
I
got
I've
the Violent Femmes one coming up. I got a Vegas one, and I think I have an idea for this Saturday morning cartoon thing. I can throw it out here, right?
So
I'll just
excited.
Mention
of course
it.
You can. Yeah.
Make it a double album and have disc two mm-hmm. be primetime TV themes.
Brilliant. Love it. Why not? I love that. Oh my gosh. That whole thing has me
Charles
so excited.
In Charge and Quantum Leap.
It has me excited because I get to do artwork for this stuff. That's what
exactly,
makes me excited.
Exactly. Can you imagine a jazz version of the Quantum Leap song?
It's kind of inappropriate music for that show, I always felt. It could just be me, but there was something about it I didn't think was right. It was still hanging on to this weird old era of intro songs where people would smile at the camera after like brandishing a gun. It's so stupid. Anyway. Hey, check it out. Big Kickstarter news coming from me soon. Going to pull a Johnson here and not tell you what it's about. But let's just say if you enjoy my artwork and you've liked it for, say, 12 years, then there might be something coming real quick.
What?
Yeah, working with Dave. Going to have it out soon. Just hold on to your butts. We'll announce it on the show, I'm sure, probably even first. So
Johnson. You know.
Pull that Johnson hard. Okay. Oh, yeah, girl. We got to call the girls.
Girls.
Oh, yeah, girls.
Food girls gone wild going on right here.
I think they're online. Going to ask about the ever important subject of farting in bed. I mean, Dutch oven cooking. Oh, they didn't answer. Weird. Let's try that again. Let's try it again. Here we go. I think she went over to Sarah's house this morning, so this should work out. She says she's online. Oh, hello.
Oh.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, what's up? What's there up, yo? Are. What's up?
We're porch swinging. That's what's up.
Oh, wait. Which porch? Ours or yours?
At Sarah's.
Oh, okay. All right. You were just at Sarah's, man. You just about live there. You need a cot set up there. You can just hang out.
I know. We do have a spare bedroom. Taylor stayed in last night, so she can just come and use it.
Oh, perfect. That's really nice that you do that for Taylor, by the way. Taylor, since she works downtown every day, or not every day, every week, for the days she does that, she hangs out at Sarah's house and lives a lot closer that way, so.
It's about an hour off her commute every day. It's kind of nice. She makes me go to the gym.
Wow.
She makes you go to the gym. Go to the gym, Aunt Sarah.
Well, she can't get in without me, so then I get dressed and I go.
Well, there you go. So let's talk briefly about the subject of, by the way, this is Kim and Sarah. They're sisters. They're also the Geek Food Ladies, frogpants.com/geekfood. Let's talk about farting in bed. No, sorry. I keep getting confused.
Pulling the covers and holding them down tight.
Yeah, we call that Dutch oven cooking around here. Are you, you guys were talking, or Kim was saying something about, Sarah, you guys were going to start doing some Dutch oven cooking. For people who don't even know what that is, explain what a Dutch oven cookery thing is. What do you even do?
Well, it's a big cast iron pot that usually you cook with while camping, or you use coals to heat it. Top and bottom. You use as many coals as the size of diameter on the top and the bottom.
You bury it, right? You actually bury it in the ground?
You can. We don't. Hmm. You just make your coals work for you, so you don't have to.
Yeah, you like preheat your coals until they're like white hot, and then you put them on the bottom of the pot, and then you set it on top of, you set the pot on top of the coals, and then you put coals on top of the lid, so it cooks from top and bottom.
So the coals are just what, like briquettes? Or are you using wood?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Charcoal.
Charcoal.
But isn't this is based on like some like 1800 style pioneer dude, you know, burying a pot with a bunch of firewood and coming out with stew on the other end, right?
That's probably cow patties.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Those burned really well at the time, didn't they?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's for real. All right. So I meant before we called to I was going to look this up and look at some history for it, and all I found mostly was a bunch of recipes, like tons of recipes.
Yeah.
But I did find this. Here's the description. A Dutch oven is a thick-walled, usually cast iron cooking pot with a tight-fitting lid. Dutch ovens have been used for cooking vessels for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. They are called casserole dishes in England. Or, sorry, English-speaking countries other than the USA. Casserole means pot in French. Who knew that? Next time I see Patrick, I'm going to go, casserole. And he'll say, I do not smoke it, he'll say. The coquettes in French, they are similar to both Japanese tetsunbi and sack. And the sack, they call it.
Coquettes were some of our favorite music in the 70s.
Right. I love cooking things in the sack as well. A traditional... Backran cast iron oven, South African potty, they call it, and the Australian bedori oven, something like that. Anyway, it's got a long, long history, but it's weird. Here in Utah specifically has taken on like a really prominent role for a lot of people. People love Dutch oven cooking here. I think we ended up getting it through like the Dutch, like literally the Pennsylvania Dutch and people who came... Yeah, they came west during the kind of Western expansion, and they probably brought these traditions with them, right?
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure.
So, what are you cooking there? Give me some food. What do we got? What are you baking? Well, one of these things.
Well, Steve and I were on this lovely Pioneer trek this last week. Yeah. We got to Dutch oven cook in the pouring rain, which was an experience all in itself. But we whatever meats you want. We did a sauce in it with like beans and corn. And made our own stew, like almost like a taco soup. It's you can be really experimental with it, I think.
Yeah. People make up new recipes all the time. There's a lot of during the city, what is it? City celebrations, they'll do Dutch oven
competitions
and stuff, and people make up their own stuff.
I've seen that downtown where there'll be like a road cordoned off, and there'll be like just people in a row with a big Dutch oven on a thing, and they're all letting people try their stuff. Like a lot of people do, peach cobbler in there. That's a weird thing.
Oh, good.
You just dump your peaches in, you dump a cake mix in, you put some butter on top, and it just kind of cooks. You don't stir it. It's a really simple recipe. You don't have to do anything.
I think because you have the heat coming from top and bottom, it's like baking it almost. It's just like a...
Yeah, we did scalloped potatoes with tons of cheese, and oh, it was delicious. Oh,
that sounds really good.
It was good.
I bet it's even better when you're on some crappy Wyoming trail.
You will eat dirt at that point.
There's always a little dirt in there. So here's a fun fact. A statue raised to honor the Mormon handcraft companies who entered Utah's Salt Lake Valley in the 1850s proudly displays a Dutch oven hanging from the front of a handcart. It is also the official state cooking pot of Texas, Utah, and Arkansas.
Really?
Who knew we all had official... Like, Brian, find out what the Colorado official state cooking pot is, will you? Find out what that is.
Yeah, I wonder if there is one, sure.
Yeah, there might be. Also, it says here that Lewis and Clark carried one of these with them on their great exploration to the American Northwest in 1804 to 1806, which is crazy.
They look pretty durable. They
looks like Dutch oven is the only official state cooking pot of any state. If you do a search for official state cooking pot, you only get stories about the Dutch oven in Utah.
Wow.
So good on
you. It's a big deal here. I mean, I make it seem silly, but it really is like everyone knows what it is. Everyone does it all the time. It's a big tradition.
Go up to the mountains, and that's kind of what they do for their family dinners. They do all Dutch oven and kind of make it a big family outing.
They're really, really heavy, though, so keep that in mind.
And they are hard to clean, but they do have Dutch oven liners. I would recommend that highly. You find them by the Dutch ovens.
Yeah, but Dutch oven liners, that sounds like we've modernized those into wussy territory. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, made it easier. Exactly.
Clean. You cannot soap and water them. You have to like boil water in them. You have to put them in the oven and heat them and then cover them with oil. It's kind of a process.
Yeah, but it's like underwear or something. We didn't need that back in the day. We were tough. We could free ball it all over the country. It was fine.
Oh, look at this. I actually just found something. So Colorado does have an official state pot. It's the Purple Haze.
I was going to say, what was I thinking? We know what your official pot is now.
was good.
Over time, the Dutch oven used in American colonies began to change. The pot became shallower and legs were added to hold the oven in the coals. A flange was added to the lid so that people like me could say flange out loud and to keep the coals in the lid and out of the food. So a few modern changes to an already traditional way of cooking. Pretty cool.
Yeah, really cool. It's fun.
Well, that's awesome. So make some stuff that we can eat. That'd be great.
All right.
And we'll get on that right away. You can find more cool stuff from these guys, recipes and photos of what they're cooking and what they're making at frogpants.com/geekfood. And you can listen to their podcast by subscribing to it on iTunes. Just look for Geek Food. You guys have a new episode coming out?
Yes. Yeah. We didn't get to last week because Sarah left on Tuesday, or I started watching her kids on Tuesday. And so... We'll get one out tomorrow.
We could do a podcast about just what it's like to have six kids in the house. We could do that. Hold on. It was more than six. Was it six? Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, last week I told you I was going to put up the cream puff recipe, and we didn't because it didn't turn out right. So I did put Wookiees up on the site.
Oh, nice. Wookiees, a throwback to very early Geek Food days. Mm-hmm. Yeah, check those out. They're hairy cookies.
Why the cream puffs aren't on there. We're still working on that recipe.
Sounds delicious.
They're hairy, smelly, flea-infested cookies that help people smuggle things across the universe. All right, fantastic. It's Sarah and Kim. Oh, on The Geek Food on Twitter. Follow them there. Geek Food and The Geek Food are their separate accounts on Instagram, so follow those. If you like food, pictures of food, that's a place to do it. I think that's it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a fantastic day and make some good food for me and Steve.
You.
Imagine what she was about to say. It sounded almost like she was about to insult me.
It did, actually.
She could have said, you bet, but instead I was like, you bastard. All right.
Well done.
I got to quit eating these.
Yeah, what are you eating, those strawberry things?
I've eaten three of them and they're not very good. Something about me is craving some sugar. I need to get some natural fruit in me or something.
There you go. Eat a plum.
Whew. All right. Let's keep moving here. We do have some emails. Before that, though, I skipped something at the top of the show. It was a contest I devised, a Wolverine contest. That's for you. The game is called Is It or Is It Not a Wolverine Villain?
Okay,
and here's the theme here.
Call now.
All right. You don't have to call. It's just going to be Brian.
I was already on the line. You're not going to clear the lines to
Okay. I love that line, but clearing the lines for me means literally nothing, but I love saying it. So here we go. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. You have to tell me whether or not these are or are not a villain for the Wolverine, okay? And I'm going to, if you win, you get... If you lose, you get...
Nah.
All right?
All right.
So here we go.
Fair enough.
This is for Brian. He's Lord of Trivia. He doesn't cheat either, so don't worry about that.
Nope, I do not. I won't even look at the tadpole during this whole thing.
Can always trust him. Here it is. Wendigo.
Oh, Wendigo, yes, of course. That's a Wolverine
film. Yep, actual Wolverine dude to fight. You're right.
The initial appearance of Wolverine in Hulk 181 was Hulk and Wolverine battling the Wendigo.
That's correct. They're usually fighting each other, it seems like.
That's right, yeah.
Yugen,
I think. I think that was one of the Japanese villains, so I'm going to say yes.
Nah.
Kind of a trick question. It's Ogen, not
Ogen, right.
Kind of a trick.
Had the big red devil face, yep. If I remember correctly.
Totally right, yep. But I kind of cheated there, so.
I thought you were just mispronouncing it.
Striper. Not the band, by the way. Not the Christian rock band of the 80s, but.
I think you're trying to fool me again because Striker. Hold on a sec. Striper. Yeah. No,
I assume
I think,
Striper. Striper, right? Striper. That's not Stripper. That'd be two P's.
That'd be two P's. And I think, I don't think that's a real Wolverine villain.
You say that's not a Wolverine villain.
I say not Wolverine. Villain.
Good job. Nailed it. Dakin.
Oh, Dakin. Not just a Wolverine villain. But the son of Wolverine, who died recently.
Whoa, look at you.
Yeah.
All right. You're the Marvel man. You know more stuff about Marvel stuff. The Hulk. We already gave this one away.
Oh, come on now. Really?
Now they fight a lot. Gorgon. Just like it sounds. Gorgon.
Yes. I'm just trying to remember if there was a Marvel villain named Gorgon. I don't think there was.
I'm probably wrong on this one, but I'm going to say not a Wolverine villain.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, good job. No, I did that wrong. Sorry.
Nah.
He is one.
He is okay.
I hit the wrong one. Sorry. Is a Wolverine villain. I don't know much about him, but he's apparently that's him. Next one up is a hard one. Tabersooth.
Okay. Tabersooth. Boy, is that like when there was Man Spider? I'm going to say no, not a real.
No, that'd be Miter Span is what that would be.
Miter Span.
Miter Span. You're going to say no?
Yeah. All right.
Good job. You got that one. Darkseid.
Darkseid. That's the DC guy. So wait a minute. Am I getting my... Yeah, Darkseid was like the Apocalypse of the DC universe. I'm going to say no.
Yeah. Good job. I thought you would blow that one. I predicted wrong.
Yes. I remember the character, and sometimes those blur together, especially in those crossover issues.
And they tend to do this, like, you know, Green Arrow and what's his name? Hawkeye. Like they have a lot of crossover characters. It's easy to do.
Right. The Amalgam Universe, I think they did battle Darkseid and Apocalypse, if I remember correctly.
That makes sense. Parallax.
Parallax, yes. A guy in a spandex. I guess they all were spandex, but I think he could control time, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes, and I would say
nah.
He is also he's a DC villain.
Oh, he is DC. Yeah,
double-checked you there. Parallax Scrolling was his first name, his full name. Just kidding.
Parallax Scrolling, really.
The Red Hulk.
Red Hulk. I don't know if they've ever fought, but he is a Marvel character. It's Thunderbolt Ross now has Hulk powers and is the Red Hulk.
Yep.
I don't know if they've ever fought though.
So unsure if he's a Wolverine villain.
I'll say yes. I'll say they had to have fought some sort.
You are totally correct. And at some point, him and Greeny had to team up again to.
Of course, to beat the Red Hulk, sure.
And apparently the Red Hulk has a bleed-out problem. So my understanding of the Red Hulk, he's got two major weaknesses.
Bleeds out radioactivity or something?
Yeah, or something like that. And it's not, if you cut him, he just bleeds all day. Like, it's bad.
Oh, really? Yeah. Like, no clotting?
Yeah. So,
Red Hulk is a hemophiliac.
Right. That and heat. I guess heat makes him want to pass out. So he's my mom and a hemophiliac is what he is.
It sounds like a lot of weaknesses.
Yeah, but the Wolverine cut him in the arm at one point. It was
so just put him in a put a shawl over him and he's done.
Yeah, he's fine. He's out after that.
I'm so nick him hot. With a toothpick and put a shawl over him and boom.
I need to get some shade and some iced tea. Well, congratulations. You won more than you lost there.
Very
nicely done, and that was a lot of fun, and I'm glad we got to do it. All right, moving on. We got emails to do, and emails are brought to you by...
After 10 amazing years of marriage, my wife and I are in the process of adopting a little girl from China with cleft lip and palate. We have 100% funded this endeavor up until this point by gutting and remodeling a foreclosed home, downsizing our lives, and taking lots of extra side work. We're now in the last stretch of the process and asking for help getting over the hump. Check out our story at tiny.cc/bringclarahome. But most importantly, please, please, please get the word out for us. Your support will help bring a beautiful soul home and give her a chance at a future and love. That's tiny.cc/bringclarahome.
Clara with a C, right? Yeah, Clara.
Yes. Oh, it's adorable. That's a great story.
Totally cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
House flipping too. They're doing the whole shebang, like adopting a child from overseas and flipping a house.
Yep. You know what I call that? That's GPA. That's short for giant pain in the ass. That's a lot of work. Oh, my gosh.
These guys should actually have a reality show on HGTV, and that'll push them over.
Yeah, that'll get you there. Right. Do support these guys. tiny.cc/bringclarahome, all one word. Mm-hmm. Dear Bellagio and the Strip.
Nice.
You are on me.
I'm Bellagio.
You are on me. And you're found
I'm spewing water like crazy.
I love it. I like your art gallery. All right.
Are there really no S? A stratosphere. Come on. Why not stratosphere?
Yeah. Or there's something else too. There's the
Sahara's gone.
Oh yeah, the Sahara's one. And Stardust is gone too.
Stardust is gone. Yeah.
I think that's it. No more
circus,
S's.
Circus.
Oh, put two S's in there. I'm 30 in a few weeks, and I'm celebrating my taking a trip to Las Vegas with my best friend. I'm not a gambler, but I love the idea of seeing the sights and eating some of the good food. I'm a geek on a budget and was hoping you Vegas veterans could do a rundown of your top recommendations for someone planning to visit. I've heard of Pinball and Secret Pizza. What else is out there? Brie in Chicago. P.S. Find a new pronunciation. Our tacos are fantastic. All right.
No more shit taco.
No more shit taco. All right, so I'm going to let you take main. I'm going to let you take point on this because you are okay. Lord of Vegas and you know the best deals and things like that. Yeah, that's true.
So for breakfast, go up and hit the Hash House of Go-Go at what used to be Imperial Palace, but is now the Quad.
Yeah.
And it's a top floor. You basically go through the casino a little bit. You'll see an elevator, and just ask anyone where Hash House of Go-Go is. Now, the good thing about that is if you're there with a friend, you can share one of their hashes are humongous. Or if you have a refrigerator back in your hotel room, take it back to your hotel. It'll take the leftovers back because it is a lot of food.
Yeah.
They have a BLT Bloody Mary that's fantastic. Bloody Mary with bacon and lettuce. You know, a stock of lettuce in there that's really really good. So that's what you start with. Now, if you're not a gambler. Obviously go check out the fountains at Bellagio. Oh, one more food recommendation for breakfast or brunch. Mon Ami Gabi at Paris. And if you can get a seat outside, they've got misting things out there to keep you cool. But you'll be right across the street from Bellagio. So as you're eating your Eggs Benedict or whatever you get there,
yeah.
You'll get to watch the fountains every 15 minutes.
That's a cool way to be. I love it over there. I love being on that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see. So non-gambling stuff, go to the Stratosphere doesn't have a lot going for it, but what it does have going for it are crap your pants thrill rides at the very top of the place.
I hate it.
And an incredible view too of the strip and everything. There's a roller coaster up there. There's a
That view is only good at night. Do it at night.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Same with the New York roller coaster. I recommend actually doing that one at dusk, as the lights are starting to come up and as you're starting to get sunset over the mountains. It's a really really pretty time to do that.
Yeah. Don't eat Hash House before you go on that thing, though.
Right. Allow some time. A little visit to the little boys' room.
Yeah. Refractory period, if you will, because that's rough business there.
I would avoid the Treasure Island or the TI thing they do in the front with the pirate ships. It used to be great. Now it's gotten really cheesy and I don't know, over sexualized. I felt weird when we took Tristan down there thinking it was going to be the pirate ship one, and it turned into a bunch of women talking about. Well, I can't even say it because of but. A term for a man who's on the sea, right?
Oh, seamen. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Talk about seamen. Yeah.
Lots of talk about that.
Okay. Yeah, great. Why are they doing that? What's the point of that? It used to be more kid friendly.
Right. Well, Vegas itself isn't very kid friendly anymore, so that's a good thing. Yeah. God, what else? What have you got? What's the Pinball Museum, obviously.
Yeah, that's a must. That's a must.
The Secret Pizza Place, the Cosmopolitan.
I would totally do that. I really like the. I really like if you're looking for lunch and you don't mind spending way too much money. Or wait, did you already mention Serendipity 3? You didn't mention that, did you?
Oh, no, I didn't mention Serendipity 3. Great.
Really good. And it's right there, kind of nestled into the Caesar's Palace area where you do all the shopping and everything.
Yes. Outside of Caesar's Palace.
Yeah. And I love Caesar's Palace, period. Like that shopping forum and all that is some of my favorite place to sort of hang out and see things.
Well, yeah. And speaking of that, there's the Palm Restaurant, which is normally like, $40 a plate for dinner. If you go there Sunday through Thursday, and go and eat in the bar. I want to say it's like 5 p.m., 6 p.m., right around there. There is a, it's kind of a secret deal where you get prime bites for half price. I think I want to say like $3.50 or something like that for each one. Yeah. And you can load up, like for $35, you can load up on all of their prime bites, get lobster lobster fondue and crab cakes, amazing crab cakes, Kobe beef burgers.
Yep.
Awesome stuff. Yep. Easily feed two people for $30.
Yep. And I highly recommend going to the old strip, whatever it's called now. The
Promenade thing, whatever. Fremont Street.
That's a really cool thing to see what they've done with that place. But moreover, my favorite thing down there was walking through the Golden Nugget. And here's why. Because it feels like any minute, like Frank Sinatra is going to pop out. It's so cool, like retro 60s cool in there. And on purpose, like it's not dumpy and old, it's refurb, but they've kept that vibe of like, you know, the Rat Pack's got to be around the corner. I'm going to freaking see Elvis later. Like there's a weird old Vegas thing happening in that place that is awesome. So mm-hmm. I want to stay there one of these trips. I just want
to
stay in
there. Yeah, it's apparently supposed to be a really good place to stay. They've got a pool, like they've redone their whole pool area, and they've got a water slide that goes through a shark tank. So it's a transparent tube that you're sliding through, and at the very bottom, it dips through a tank that has sharks in it.
Right. If you're lucky, you get eaten. So good luck with that.
So there's that.
Anyway, good luck, Bree.
The chance of that is winning the jackpot.
Exactly. But that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm excited for your first trip there. It's a great place to hang out. You're going in a week or two. I'm going there later this fall. It's going to be, it's always a place you go a few times a year. All right. Let's see. Oh, somebody, Neil Patel sent me a note that Sharknado is coming to theaters in August. So do with that whatever you want to do with that.
Yeah. So you can either see it for free on siffy.com now or wait and pay
$8. Yeah.
$8. Brilliant. Okay.
If you do the matinee. Good luck. Good luck, everyone who gives two poops about that. But thanks, Neil. We appreciate it. Dane Barnes wrote in and says, hey, Scott or Brian. And or Brian, he says.
And or Brian. Well, thanks.
I have a friend who is a tarot card reader. Oh, okay. Lots of talk about psychics since my last conversation about psychics here on the show.
Right. I talked about that last week.
Got one guy I didn't do here, but he's mad at me. He's a psychic and is really mad at me. He thinks that I'm totally full of it.
And really?
Yeah. And I was going to reply, and I said this on Twitter. So I was going to reply to him, but I think he already knows what I'm going to say. So I didn't reply.
Well done.
Yeah. And why didn't he predict I was going to? Why didn't he predict I was going to say it before I said it? That's what I want.
Right, and not listen that day. Something tells me I should listen to TMS on Thursday.
Hey, Scott and Brian, I have a friend who is a tarot card reader. I've gotten two readings from her, and she wholeheartedly believes in what she does. Well, I don't doubt it. From what I could tell, the cards can be interpreted in many different ways, but only to an extent. All the cards I got represented things I had been thinking about, and what has been going on in my life, relatively well. Yeah, but this is a friend of yours. Who knows about your life? I just want to point that out.
You're worried about your job. I am worried about my job.
I just remember I was just talking to you about that last week. That's crazy. I'm not a believer in it totally, but I do think there's something to tarot reading. It isn't just telling the future much, but it does give possible outcomes. However, this is something. This is somewhat interesting, and you should keep up this whole calling weird numbers to see what happens sort of thing. It's really funny and keeps me wondering what's going to be on the other end of that call. The show that you two are making still entertains me, Dane Barnes. Well, Dane, thank you for the perspective.
Thank you, Dane. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not making fun. Honestly, if people are all way into this, great. I think it's awesome. Whatever you want to do.
And honestly, if it helps you find something in yourself that helps you make a change in your life, even if you think it's this outside source that's being the catalyst, or maybe it is this outside source, it's these cards or it's a palm reading or whatever, that's giving you the catalyst to discover something in yourself to make a change in your life or stay away from something that you deep down know is bad for you or whatever, then it's a good thing. Sure. Whatever the case is, it's a good thing.
Sure, whatever it is.
And thank you, Dane, for being a Coverville citizen as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we like him even more now. Yes. Kevin Ashby wrote in with my favorite response, and we got a ton of them, so thank you all for these. Some pros, some against. Some were downright mean against. I don't want to read those. Some were downright mean for, so I'm not reading those. But I did want to read this one. It says, the way I see it, if they were really psychic, they would call me when I want to talk to them, says Kevin Ashby. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. It's kind of like, you know what? I find it entertaining and kind of interesting.
Sure.
But I'll never forget a class. I took a psychology class in college, and I will never forget this class. And I'm sure other people have seen this, but it was new to me. I get into class, first day of class. They pass around a questionnaire to everybody in the class. Mm-hmm. And they said, just answer all these the most honest way you can. And then we're going to turn them in about 15 minutes from now. So we all took about 15 minutes, filled out all these questions. They were things like, what matters most to you in life? How do you feel about your job? What are your plans? Bip, 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 bip. We're all, early 20s kind of thing.
Sure.
And we're filling this thing out. We hand it all in. She goes through all the papers, shuffles them up. She goes, all right, I'm going to pull one of these out at random, and I'm going to read it, and or I'm going to read the what your answers mean, and I want you out there to think about if this is you or not. And at the end of the class, I'm going to have the person who's it's about is going to raise his hand and say, yeah, that was about me. So she pulls out some kind of other sheet compared to that one sheet, and she starts to saying, all right, now this person really, really is happy most of the time, but occasionally there's a little bit of sadness in this person's life. This person really likes animals, but would not care to have too many of them, or, you know, these kinds of interpretations. And by the right. time she got done, she goes, all right, now I want the person that this is about to raise their hand. Every hand went up. Yeah. Every hand, not even half. Everybody. Throng. And we were all dead sure she was talking about us individually.
That's hilarious.
Taught me
that's
a very, brilliant. Very important lesson that day. I learned a lot from that. So that's all I'm saying. That is the perspective I come from. Everybody thought it was this real personal thing just to them. And that teacher was punking us. That's all I'm saying. All right. Moving on.
Nice. Yeah.
Let's get to whacking it tally style. There you go, Ryan. We've done what we've done.
Oh, I probably ought to
should
call
we tally whack it?
Make it so.
Probably ought to. Stuck and instantly appear.
Yeah,
like, magically. Well,
if I was a psychic, I got to predict it. let's get Cleo on the line. She can give us some points here. Here we go, Cleo. You there?
Yeah. What's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, I'm getting ready. Oh, hi.
Hi. I'm getting ready for my trip to Vegas. I leave on Friday.
Oh, what are you? What's for fun or what are you doing?
Oh, it's for absolute shit is what it's for. I am taking my daughter to a One Direction concert.
Oh, Mike, both of my...
So it'll be fun for one of you.
Three of my nieces will be there, that very concert.
That's going to be good times.
Yeah, and when you see, you'll know them because they're half Koreans. We call them half-blood princes around my family.
Oh, and my daughter's half Chinese. So they'll find one another like radar.
That's awesome. Great. Yeah, all the half Asians tend to group up and stuff. What's really miserable and sad is my three nieces just saw. Is it two nieces? Yeah, two nieces. I guess not three. Just maybe it was three. Anyway, they all just saw One Direction like a week ago here in Salt Lake, and now they're going again to Vegas.
Oh, my mom wanted to give Sarah tickets to see One Direction, and I thought for Christmas, and I thought that's the greatest thing ever. Yeah. I don't have to buy that shit.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then she called me and she said, well, I got you great tickets. You're on the floor. You're like three rows from the stage. And I thought, wow, thanks, Mom. And then she said, it's in Las Vegas. And I went, great. So I can spend $1,200 on airfare as opposed to just $200. Okay, great. Yeah, thanks.
Don't they come to Kansas City? Is that not a thing they do? On their
no, yeah, they're here. Oh, they're here now.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, no okay. problem. My mom just for some reason thought that Las Vegas was convenient for me.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's way not convenient. Wow.
Yeah,
where are
yeah.
they staying? Like, where are they performing?
They're at the blah, blah, blah.
Mandalay or MGM.
Yeah, Mandalay.
Mandalay, yeah. Oh, yep. Are they out on the beach? See, that could be cool, though.
No,
or is it inside?
No, it's still One Direction. It's not cool. It's not cool. Center. No, it's still One Direction. Yeah. It's still...
I hope they don't spit on people like that darn Bieber kid.
You know what? Every time I go, somebody says, can you think of their music? And you know that one big hit they have? I always still think of... In my head, the music comes out... I want it that way, which has nothing to do with them.
No, that's
but I can't help it. I can't help it, dude. So freaking bad. Anyway, I've told my niece and I have a little bet. I told her within 3 years she'll be completely done with that business, and she's sure that's not true. So we'll see in 3 years, everybody.
Yeah,
watch
exactly.
For it.
I'll
anyway.
Still be paying off these damn plane tickets in 3 years.
Well, have fun. You should have a good time and leave a little something for Brian when he gets there, won't you?
I will. Right. I'll leave a little something under the mattress for you, Brian. Don't worry.
Perfect. Perfect.
Jed Hooker.
Good times.
All right. Well, let's add things up today. How did we do?
Cool. Just FYI, www.statesymbolusa.org for all of your state pots and animals and whatnot needs.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty funny.
Statesymbolusa.org, is that it?
Yes. And it has, really? You would believe the amount of useless information you can find on that site. It's amazing.
Oh, this is, oh my gosh, we have a historic vegetable.
We do.
Let me tell you what it is. It's the sugar beet. Okay, great. We have a state fossil. It's the Allosaurus. Oh, I'm going to spend all day here.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah,
okay,
sure.
Anyway, that's amazing.
Digital crack, you're welcome. Okay, so, let me see some points here. PSU Whammy said the Papal Plane was my Stairway to Heaven cover album. That was good.
Papal right. Plane. That's
pretty good.
Yep. Droid Head wants to know if the Pope eats on papal plates.
recycling and all that.
Okay.
Ironic name says my 7-inch single is my stripper name.
Okay, great.
Good. And One True Kevin is going to jump the shark and do a little WoW reference for us today and take all the points with, well, it's a lot of wiping, was the name of his last World of Warcraft raid group.
Oh, my gosh. That's pretty good. Actually, that's really good, actually. Somebody should do that. Excellent stuff, as always, Cleo. Always good to talk to you. Have fun in Vegas, man. Let us know how it goes.
I will take pictures. By the way, in case anybody hasn't seen it on the Tadpool page, on the Facebook page, I have gone ahead with the help of good man Chad Dorr, and we have made majestic Ibbot heads of everybody in the Frog Pants Network.
I've heard about this.
And I'm going to be taking a copy of them to Vegas, so you will enjoy the places you've never been.
Thank
me.
You. And thank you for using such a horrid photo of me for mine. I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely. We looked for that. That's how badly we wanted that.
Better. I have a large original of that, if that helps, if you guys ever need it. But
God, the glamour shot, wonderful. The glamour.
No, it's that big, giant hair one where my hair is everywhere, and I'm wearing like half half color glasses.
Brush.
And. Yeah, it's
the Grinch one.
The brushwood. The drunk meth head brushwood look that I was sporting about a year ago.
No hobo.
I shouldn't grow that out that long this time. Fantastic. Have fun. Stay out of trouble.
Thanks.
Don't eat the yellow snow. See ya. By the way, the state donut for Louisiana, take a guess.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the eclair.
I wish. It is the beignet. Beignet.
Of course it's the beignet.
It makes sense when you see it, right? Because at first I was like, what kind of fat thing is that? The meat pie, the Nacho Chicho's meat pie is the state meat pie in Louisiana. Don't ask me why Louisiana has so many. I don't know what's going on over there. Huh. Let me try a couple more here. Wyoming. Their state sport is rodeo.
Wyoming, sure. That would make sense.
State mammal, the buffalo.
Sure.
Which are now nearly extinct.
Have one of those, like as you cross the border into Wyoming, there's a big stand-up cutout buffalo on the top of a hill on the right side of the road.
Yeah.
It's real, but until you go sideways and then it disappears.
That documentary still makes me mad because we basically killed 30,000 buffalo. Millions of buffalo down to like 100 at one point. It's some ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
Because the white man freaking sucks. Their state language? English. Shocking. Wow.
What, in Wyoming?
Yeah, that's crazy. You have a state quarter, by the way.
Well, every state has a quarter.
Why do they
quarter
call
with
that?
Your state on it?
Right, but why are they calling that out on yours and not anyone? That's really weird.
Oh, really?
Guess what that's your favorite your state song is.
It's like Where a Man Can Walk a Mile High or something like that, right?
Rocky Mountain High from
Rocky Mountain High. What's his name? Right, John Denver.
Johnny Denver. Yeah.
Johnny Denver.
Your name origin is
Spanish for colored, right?
Colored red. Yeah.
Colored red, yeah.
Wow. All right. So you knew things.
Mm-hmm. some of these things.
Yeah, your rock. I'll give you one more. What's your state rock?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say the flower. I know the state flower. The state rock is the agate quartz or something like that. Rose quartz.
Incorrect. It is the Yule marble.
Yule Marble.
The Yule Marble.
He was great in Westworld.
That's where he's Robot Cowboy.
Yes, exactly.
Yule Marble. Where have you gone? All right, fantastic. Good work. I want to thank everybody who helped today's show be possible, including Alpha Geek Radio today for our Shoutcast stream. Scott Fletcher does our voice bumpers, and as always, you can get our t-shirt at /loot.com, our mug at frogpants.com/store. You can find our website at frogpants.com/TMS. There'll be a link to the store there. On Facebook, we're at /themorningstream. Email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. We're reading your emails every day. Keep them coming. On Twitter, we're at morningstream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. Let's do a song and kick everybody out of the house. What do you got?
I got one going out to Vlad. A frequent tadpooler, Vlad, who has, I don't know if I want to read the entire email because it is really sad. And I know that Vlad just recently lost his grandmother. So a big, big shout out and condolences from us to you. And of course, from the rest of the tadpool
Our condolences. Apparently, this has been really hard on his family, his grandmother's illness and passing, which were complications from radiation therapy that she had for ovarian cancer, breast cancer, over 40 years ago. So our thoughts and our prayers and condolences and everything go out to you, Vlad. And he had a song request. He wanted to hear a cover of Green Day, either Wake Me Up When September Ends or 21 Guns. I decided to go with the latter because I have a great bluegrass cover of that song. And it is by, it's from the Picanon series. We're all familiar with that. But it's one of the rare ones that's got vocals in it, which I love it when they throw the vocals into the, you know, and don't just do as an instrumental. So this comes from the Green Day Bluegrass Volume 2, the Bluegrass Tribute to Green Day. Came out in 2010. Here is their cover of 21 Guns.
Fantastic. We'll see you guys tomorrow with a brand new show. Oh, you know what? Actually, there's a chance tomorrow may not happen. I got to talk to you about this after. Well, not after, but
okay.
I won't know until a little later today. But I may have a early morning.
Day? Tuesday may not happen?
Well, Tuesday, is going to happen no matter what I do or say. But TMS tomorrow may not. And I won't know until about noon today. So I'll let everybody know what's going to happen. I'm hoping to get out of it. But if it comes down to it, I may have to be with a client early in the morning and I won't be
there.
So
we'll work it out.
I'll let you guys know before we go. 18 seconds of this.
That's the one with that, that bumper flitch cumber fart,
bumber snitch, flubber nuts, but bumper snitch, flabber butt, bumper snatch, flumber butt, blumber snitch, furdy flash,
bumper flitch, cumber blart,
bumber snatch, cumber flarp, bumber snatch, pumber blunk, bumber dick, fumbler butch. Isn't it? Is that the guy? All right. There you go.
That's great.
I don't know who did that. Who did that for us? Do we know?
Oh,
I meant to write it down and I forgot.
Yeah, I don't know. And it would take a long time for me to find it.
Yeah, we love it though, you guys. Thanks. Really appreciate it. That sounded like you were just laughing. Right, it sounded like you were just laughing. I love it. I can fake people. I love it. Here, you know what? Here, hold on. Just for fun. Here we go. I can just do this. Okay. Well, here we go. Okay. That wasn't it. There it was. All right. I just don't want to confuse people. Hey, that's it, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. It's 21 Guns. Hopefully tomorrow. We'll let you know. If not, Wednesday.
We'll let you know.
Brian, thanks for a great show.
Thank you, Scott Johnson.
I feel like I artificially padded today's show to be almost 2 hours. So what the hell's wrong with that? All right. That's
it. Well done.
It's very distressing. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Do you know what's worth fighting for when it's not worth dying for? Does it take your breath away and you feel yourself suffocating? Does the pain weigh out the pride? Guns, lay down your arms. your arms into the sky, you and I. Did you try to live on your own when you burned down the house and home? Did you stand too close to the fire? Time to live and let die, and you can't get another try. Something inside this heart has died. You're in ruins. One, 21 guns, lay down your arms. Give up the fight. 121 guns, throw up your arms into the sky. 121 guns, lay down your arms. Give up the
Yep, they call that the Gorbachev.